Oh. 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 Oh, killer. Oh, killer. Oh.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse. With me, my dude and co-host, Dick Popo.
Hello, hello. How's it going?
I'm black. He's Mexican. But you sure already know that. And welcome to our show. This is a podcast about nothing in particular. We got a lot of shit to talk, but before any and all of that, if you want to chime in, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. You can find us on all of your social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube.
Everything.
By simply adding IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. If you don't want to do any of that because you're too fucking lazy, just head over to the website, IBHMpodcast.com, and you can find all of our links there. Now, if you want to hit me up, Arizona Verse, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. You can find me at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. If you want to holler at my dude, Dick Popo, his main source of social media fuckery is...
I, too, want to be on Tumblr, and I am. What is it, soulpopo.tumblr.com, or is it tumblr.com, then your alias?
I think it's soulpopo.tumblr.com, some shit like that.
We'll go to that. Go to that. Instagram, too, I fucks with that. Soulpopo everything.
Yes, sir. And we are joined by a special guest in the building for the very first time. I'm going to pass the mic over to my Nubian snow bunny. Skips, say hello to the people.
Hello.
I didn't see you pop up on the screen. Is that it?
It's my first time.
Okay.
I'm a little bit nervous.
And we made a reference about this. We are popping cherries today. In both the hookah, brought to you by our sponsors. Who? What are we brought to you by?
Yes, sir. And today we're brought to you by Xanax and hookah, the Mon Cheri flavor. Yes. We got some gummy bears and shit on deck. So we're going to keep it crunk, y'all. We're going to keep it crunk. Okay. So I see you looking all nervous over there, Skips. I see you. Don't be nervous.
Oh, no, so I must throw a shout. I was blessed by what is labeled as God's gift.
Yeah.
This product that I speak of is actually labeled as God's gift, and it was some medical marijuana that I quite tasted. I liked it.
So real quick, before we get the show started, we actually have a ton of shout-outs. I'm going to run through these real quick. We had a bunch of new Facebook likes, so we want to give shots out to Ismael Asuna, Jess Wood from the Ratchet Hatchet podcast.
Ooh, Ratchets.
Shouts out to Cho and Nilla from the Cho Nilla podcast. Ooh. Hashtag Team Interracial.
Sounds interracial.
Jeff Canada, Monique Darte, Michael Cortez, Country As Hell, AZ Everything, Brooke Davis McCoy, Stephanie Sabaro.
It's a homie, hello.
Jamal Waters, Rock Out Redo, Chill Will from the Taste Like Fried Chicken podcast.
Hey, and podcast love. There's some podcast love.
Yeah, the podcast people showed us some love this week, so I really appreciate that. And over on Twitter, I want to give a quick shout out to @Orthodox. I had a damn good Twitter to hip hop debate with this dude about what real hip hop is. We went back and forth for like 3 fucking hours. I had to be at work in the morning, but I'm too busy debating with this cat. He's a 16-year-old rapper from out here in Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and the dude knows his shit. Like, he caught me off guard. He knew some shit going back to the Public Enemy days and all that. So, like, he's well versed in his hip hop.
Not to be in a race, or not to bring up the race thing, but you know, we do that here. Is he happen to be is he of the Caucasian persuasion?
You know what? I couldn't even tell from the picture that he had up. It was just kind of like a drawn up design, so I couldn't really tell. But he was a cool cat. So, and then last two shout outs. Shout out to Big T, who just dropped his new mixtape, Paper Route 2, which is free over at bigt05.bandcamp.com. And also shouts out to Sarah Diane, who was our dedication from our last episode. Show her some love and vote for She's in a Fashion Week Las Vegas Emerging Runway Model Competition Season 4. You can go over to the Facebook page at facebook.com/IBHM podcast. Scroll back a few days, like the picture, and show her some motherfucking love.
T She ain't the one that told us to fuck off, did she?
Oh, no, no, she ain't told us to fuck off.
Just making sure, because people be popping out like that, some dumb shit. All right, but anyways.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to go back to, did you get a chance to listen? Well, why can't I do some music things?
Oh, yeah, we'll play some at the end.
I'll do that in there. Well, I wanted to kind of comment. I don't know if you gave it a... There's some stuff in there, man. There's actually... Big T can actually bring it out commercially if you can market it correctly. You know what I'm saying?
And
They're doing a video for one of the singles, the... What is it?
Brass Monkey. Yeah.
Supposedly, I'm gonna be able to do a cameo appearance, and I'm gonna try
to
help with the production of the video. So we'll see though, because you know how rappers be. Yeah, I'm gonna get you on. So.
Right, ain't nothing motherfucking happens.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yes, sir.
May it be blessed.
So we're gonna start off with some randomness, and Skips is over there being all quiet. You can chime in and say some ignorant shit.
And you don't stop. Like I said, mind you, I get to play the lovable fool who says, you know, random shit aside. So don't let that shit throw you off. You either woman, just chime in. Be natural.
All right. Yeah, I will. Don't worry.
Okay, because we're going to be real, right? That's what's going to happen?
Yes. Oh, we keeps it 100.
There's going to be a relationship survey test that I'm going to be giving y'all in a little bit. Kind of sporadic into the show, so y'all can kind of keep
asking.
So I'm hoping everybody's participating.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it.
He's a little shy.
Yeah, I'm sure the fuck I am shy. Yeah.
We're supposed to get into this randomness, aren't we? Are you jumping into randomness?
Yeah, we're hopping into randomness. I'm just making sure I look good on camera. What it do? Just got
a fresh... Sounds like a rapper.
So we'll go ahead and start with some randomness. And the first story that we came across, which was very ironic, is the Etz Marlboro man died from a smoking-related disease. Apparently, it says that, you know, when it came to portraying the rugged Western outdoor man who helped transform a pack of filtered cigarettes into the world's most popular brand, Marlboro man Eric Lawson was the real deal. He was ruggedly handsome. The actor could ride a horse through the wide open spaces of the Southwest, from Texas to Colorado to Arizona or wherever else.
Hello. I'm sorry, the black came out. You keep going.
Hello. And apparently, old boy was diagnosed in 2006 with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and he just died. It looks like January 10th. He was 72. And so that is quite funny that, you celebrated or promoted a... fucking cigarette company, and now you died because it said, yeah.
Well, your vice that kills you or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying, is whatever your vice is going to kill you. That's why that show, 1,000 Ways to Die, used to be my favorite fucking show. Because all those people on there would have certain vices, and they would die from such fucked up ways. It was because of their fucking vices.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to.
And we live by those. We died. How old was he then? 75?
72.
You know what? Because I recently just did a calculation, because I unfortunately sometimes dabble in smoking. When I smoke to the death. You know what I'm saying?
Because if you're going to do it, you got to do it big, yo.
You seriously do. And I don't know, whatever. Chain smoker, but and I started counting down. Like, it's been about 10 years. I'm 10 years of a smoker. Like, you know, I can, I don't know, freaks me out. But hey, he made 75. I don't want to live that long. I'm going to go hard in the paint.
You got to go hard in the paint, give it about 48 years, and then just check out this motherfucker.
Then I'll stop. You know what I'm saying? But my daddy, though. Lord knows I love him. He was a Greek god.
Yeah.
This motherfucker, he's showing his age.
Joe Namath?
Yeah, Joe Namath. And can't no one be so pimp? And honestly, he's lived some fucking years, and I wish I was in the 70s, because like I said, I want to be able to have a cigarette in the office. I want to be able to slap someone on the ass and be like, hey, baby, good job.
Yeah.
You know, I encourage you not to have all the sexual harassment nonsense going on.
Yeah. All these goddamn women with their rights, I'm looking over to you.
Why is Trav messaging me?
That's
right.
The shit I don't know. Oh. You know what Trav said really quick? Oh. I want to go into diseases. But
yeah.
He was making fun of me saying my young bowl cut. This ain't a young bowl cut. I'll have you know that this is a legitimate dyke by Rick. That's my homie, the barber brand, who did this. Now, it's a combination of looking like a little boy and your top 10 prototype dyke. So... Notice the part.
Keeping it fresh on them. I know, yeah. Shouts out to Trav Lord, who is listening live. He is our official fact checker, because you know.
No. He's my Philly correspondent, is what he is.
The Philly correspondent. There you go, right there. Yeah. So if we say something wrong, I'm pretty sure Trav is going to Facebook us and call us out on our bullshit.
Well, we need it. No, it's just some people want their facts.
I don't want facts. I give
them
that
bullshit. Give me what the need.
I give them the bullshit. That's what I do. But so yeah. So shouts out to the Marlboro Man. All that smoking.
These is gonna catch us. And even some non-knowing shit. And I recently, from my own little, I had an alien in my gut that I was recent. My kids just got something real bad. So there's something happening in Arizona, you know, and we don't know if it's the Arizona fever. They call it Valley fever.
Valley fever. Yeah.
Bullshit. Who knows? It's just a disease is spreading, y'all, and y'all be paired up. And if y'all follow such religious bullshit, then I ask for you know, some your good your blessings, your prayers, yeah. And atheist comrades out there, I'm looking at you. I ask for your good vibes.
That's fucked up.
No, well, good. You know, whatever it is that we're, you know, pleasant thoughts. You know,
God bless me.
You know, like, you know how companies, they can't say God bless, and you know how they're going to say holidays greeting or special holidays or.
Yeah. That was one of the big debates during the holiday season, because you got so many people saying holiday this, holiday that. And the good old people at Fox News was declaring it a war on fucking Christmas, and I don't know. We live in such a PC world nowadays, like, you gotta be careful of any and everything you say, cause you're going to offend someone. And the greatest story they always bring up, I can't remember the dude's name. I think it's, what's the dude's name? Andy Cohen? Yeah. Is that his name that
for
hosts?
Yeah.
He said on one of his shows, he said something about a twink, which is like a feminine gay guy or something like that.
And
the gay community came out.
Twinkle toes?
Something like, yeah, I don't even know what it.
That I would know, but that's what they call them on porn sites too.
They call what?
They call the feminine gay dudes twinks.
Okay.
On porn sites. I mean, not that I would know.
Well, you do know, obviously you know, but I'm saying, isn't it normally, like, that's been a fucking term, like, why?
Yeah, it's been around for a while, but this homosexual man said the word twink on his show, and the gay community attacked him for using the word twink. And it was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, that's fucking retarded. But
so he had to apologize right away and make a statement?
He had to apologize to the gay community for using a gay term, because we just live in such a fucking PC world nowadays. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. But
do you still call gays Moes? Or is that was that a black
I've never
thing?
Even heard that.
No? Like, I'm a Mo. No? They never. You never heard that before?
I never heard that.
No. Oh, I thought it was like a black thing. I like to talk to my black people. I know, Travi, can we chime in? What's going on? Is that not a
fact check?
Please.
So, in other randomness news, I saw this story on one of my favorite websites, allhiphop.com, and I thought this was hilarious. Apparently, a McDonald's employee got accused of selling heroin in Happy Meals.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so that's pretty creative, but apparently a McDonald's employee in Pittsburgh was charged with selling heroin in Happy Meals to customers who used the code phrase, "I'd like to order a toy."
God.
Yo, I know they had the fucking code words and shit with it too, yo.
You know what's fucked up is the fact that, especially, you know, I mean, obviously I blame McDonald's for my obesity, but when I was little, all I really wanted, because Happy Meal didn't fill me, all I really wanted was that goddamn toy, and sometimes when they have collectibles, you know, you want to get them all, like Pokemon, you want to catch them all, and remember, that's all I want, I would genuinely ask, I just want the toy.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure? That's $20. Sure, goddamn, what's in this? All right, I guess, am I getting all the figures?
We got some sweet dreams for you in here. Shouts out to my East Coast people.
Yo.
But apparently this dude, where is it at? Yeah, it was in the East Liberty section of the city. Customers looking for heroin were instructed to go through the drive-thru and say, "I'd like to order a toy." Then the customer would drive to the window, hand over the money, and get a Happy Meal box containing heroin in its change. And apparently, undercover agents set up a drug buy and arrested Shanian Dennis, guess the race, who is 26 out of East Pittsburgh. Dennis denied wrongdoing to reporters as she, it was a chick. Shania?
Shania.
Shania. How does the white woman know how to pronounce that? And I don't
know.
Because
of Shania Twain. She's a white woman.
That don't impress me. Don't even ask her.
Exactly.
But apparently Shania was then led away in handcuffs, and authorities have found 10 bags of heroin in Happy Meal boxes and recovered another 50 bags from the suspect. So what I'm assuming happened is she got her income tax money early and she decided to flip that shit, because that's how you do it.
Yo, can we bring up the Hoffman thing? Or is that because I know?
Oh, we're gonna bring up Hoffman. Hoffman's okay. Definitely coming up. What are you gonna say?
Well, one thing I wanted to say, and it was the whole heroin thing. Did you actually know that that's popping off right now? Like, it's kind of, yes, not to say it's a drug of choice, but it's building up steam. And I was like, kids are doing it, and apparently, yeah, that's just easy to get to. Like, to me, that sounds like such a long journey to find, and then, yeah, you know, like right now, I'm fucking having trouble trying to set up this goddamn little G-pen shit. And check the measurements and inject yourself, like, fuck. And so apparently it's popping off big in kids.
Yeah.
And because of, you know, the Quaaludes turning to pain pills and pain pills being all the rage and easy to get, apparently heroin was just that logical next step.
That's that new shit.
You know that shit? Yeah.
That's, I got the camera on you. I got the camera on you, Skips. I'm watching you.
Don't say that, because then it makes me super nervous. Can't even talk.
That's kind of how nervous I was a little bit ago. Can I talk about that? I feel like I haven't really fully gone, like, you know, totally. And I'd say I don't feel comfortable around you, uh-huh, but because I don't want to say the wrong thing, and I definitely don't want to offend you, and I know when
Does the black man make you nervous?
It's the black boogeyman.
Are you afraid you're going to say the N-word or something?
I've said that.
Oh, he said the N-word plenty of times. Yeah, we're comfortably cool with that. Yeah.
Even then, I do keep it calm on the hard R's. But no, but sometimes, like, you know, like, when I compliment, I don't want that to go too far. And then also, like, I don't want to also disrespect it. Like, I couldn't say bitch earlier. And that's so much, like, thanks to Too Short, that's so much in my vocabulary. And I was like, oh, can I say this? Can I not?
This is an uncensored podcast, because I don't care if we have a snow bunny on the show. I still am going to go in on white people like I always do.
Okay. Because there's a part of
me looking at you.
And I don't know if it's like a corporate thing, but because white people have truly been the ruling race, I'm on good behavior. Like, you know what I'm saying? With white people. Only because I don't know what can be used against me. And, you know. So anytime I vote, I fraternize and, yeah, bullshit it, and I talked about my dick. It's always been to those of color. I feel comfortable doing that, because
but then I feel kind of offended that you don't want to be just comfortable around me.
We can blame that on my psychosis, but
yeah, just be comfortable. I don't care.
I'm trying to.
And that's why I popped Xanax before the show, and I'm cool with everything. I'm chillaxing. But actually, that was a good segue, you bringing up the Philip Seymour. We could go ahead and talk about that, yeah, right now. Because Philip Seymour, I guess it was kind of an interesting coincidence. But Philip Seymour, the week that he died, apparently a lethal batches of bad heroin hit the East Coast the same week. Yeah, so I think they were saying there was a drug overdose that he died from. Let me see what it says here. It says, for the past 3 weeks, authorities have been tracking batches of deadly something-laced heroin that's been moving east from Pittsburgh. 22 people in western Pennsylvania died of overdoses in the past weeks, and authorities believe that most of the deaths were related to heroin laced with fentanyl, which is a powerful narcotic. Yeah, I make up the pronunciations, but it's I just keep it rolling. I keep it pushing.
But you know what, though? What shook me out is the fact that they, because of this shit happening, which, by the way, I'm actually a big fan of. I can never pronounce his name correct fully the first time.
It's Seymour,
times.
Right? Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay.
Anyways, earlier, I fucking couldn't spit out my mouth for the life of me. But anyways, I really respected him. Like, he was the shit in Capote, even his little side when he plays the supporting role, like, dude, mm-hmm, shit. So I personally, I didn't feel as, you know, as heartbroken as it did, like, let's say when Amy fucking Winehouse died. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
But when him, it's like, oh, fuck, man, he was one of the good ones. He's one of the guys I was jealous of that inspired, yeah, me to be in, because he's a character actor, kind of how Heath Ledger was. But I don't rule out suicide or hope that was the case. I definitely do believe it was an overdose, but the point of it is the fact that they want to find the guy. Like, they apparently have ID'd on who may have been his dealer. Like, they want to find this motherfucker, which is like, fuck.
Isn't that interesting?
You sold it to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
We have so many people dying over this shit all the time, but yet, you know, a celebrity.
Yeah.
What about Heath Ledger? Did they go find his dealer?
See, now, with Heath Ledger, if I'm not mistaken, it was prescription pills that he died off of. And actually,
I thought he had some heroin or something
too.
It's a possibility.
I thought there was a movie. Extra. My camera keeps falling.
I don't know if you're listening.
I have a quick correction from Trav.
Oh, shit.
Twinks are the barely legal gay dudes.
Oh,
just so you know.
That's what it is.
Thanks, Trav.
Wow, Trav, good looking. That's just my personal knowledge.
But now, going back to Heath Ledger, I don't know exactly what he died off of, but the one thing that I did find interesting, he died it was after the making of the whole Dark Knight thing, and anybody who watched Dark Knight, me personally, I thought that Heath Ledger was the greatest fucking Joker they ever had. Like, he embodied the Joker when he did that shit.
Yeah.
And what was interesting, I had the special edition DVD, and I think it's Hans Zimmer is the name of the guy that does the music and all that, and he put together this long, like, 14, 15 hour crazy, like, demonic music mix together, and apparently he had gave it to Heath Ledger to listen to while he was on the airplane, so Heath Ledger would fly for like 12 hours just listening to this demonic orchestra sound and all that, and that's what helped Heath Ledger get into that mind state. And the story is that during all that time, Heath Ledger really got so deep into that character that he found, if you will, some personal demons with him and within himself, and they had to prescribe prescription pills and all that to help him go to sleep and different things like that, and then that was on a combination of some other things which caused him to pass away. And if you listen to the music that is played on there, I could imagine listening to that shit for 15 hours, it fucking up your head. And so, yeah, he just got so deep in a fucking character that kind of ended up being part of his demise. So,
he was in a movie called Candy, and it was one of my favorite movies of his, but it also freaked me out because him and he had a girlfriend, they were into heroin. I mean, it was a Frankie Lyman story. He had to prostitute his gal to get his face and all this fucked up stuff. And so I believe that if he would have gotten the character, he would have done this shit, like, you know, big time. Big time.
And I just have to give a shout out to Maurice. He said he's listening to us.
So. Oh shit, son! Maurice in the building. What it do, son?
What is happening?
He's like, I just don't know what is happening.
That's. Did that
Maurice
sound gay?
I've known for like.
Did that sound gay?
What?
But I always said that.
When you said what?
Do you think, like, if a woman who hated gay cats, would she hate me for how I said that?
Yes.
That's a good question.
If not a good question, well, at least a segue into the story, no? Are we not interested in that?
Yeah, actually.
What happened with that? Because, Steph, I don't know. I'm just, I feel like it would have been nice to say. I'm looking at the... Go for it, dude.
So, no, yeah, let me load up this thing. I'm hopping around and producing the show, and I get busy over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, can I talk?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Do your thing. Read your article, yo.
Well, because when I read this out earlier, Steph was like, really? What the hell? Apparently.
I never heard of it. I didn't hear that story.
Well, it's on hip-hop, so I don't know how to rate that as far as...
I don't know how valid fucking or how credible all hip hop is when it comes to certain news stories, but yeah, go ahead and take that one.
Well, it says here, woman disowns cat for being gay, and then so apparently it says, yes, people, this is the real thing. A Nigerian woman has disowned her cat because of his same sex attraction. Can you believe that? All because of same sex attraction. It started an uproar.
Wait, it's Nigerian.
No, it says it clear as day. As the Nigerian newspaper leadership notes, this woman, identified simply as middle-aged, rid herself of Bull, whom she owned for 7 years after the cat was deemed to be in the habit of having sex with the cat. What? Of making sexual events. I don't know how that shit makes sexual. Oh, you know what? Actually, that's what does freak me out about cats. Let me keep reading this shit. So apparently, after the cat was deemed only to other male cats in the household, but... I don't know if I should keep reading this. It's just ridiculous. The cat made a record as the first cat to be publicly declared as gay and disowned by its owner. Like, it's a big deal. Like, I wonder if this was in the papers. If anybody interested in this gay cat can have it because I have no further use of it.
That's so fucked up.
So I wonder, did this cat eat catnip off her fucking snatch? I mean, why is she so pissed off about it? She's so distraught. Like, if it isn't fucking with you, then why? Anyways, It became apparent after the Nigerian president, Good Luck Jonathan.
Oh, that's a gangster ass name right there. No. Good Luck Johnson, son. I bet his luck is fucked, though.
Oh, yo. Well, he's a president, and he says, I guess he banned the bill and starting all this shit with the LGBT and the goddamn Russians, and they don't want gays either. And apparently, the one, I don't know if you know, and I'm totally done with the story because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is completely ridiculous.
There's this one. One of the Olympians, because you know, the part of the Olympics, like they, yes, it's in Russia, they made a clear state they don't want gays there.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be gay and you're going to be in Russia, don't touch nobody because your gayness is going
to
spread.
They told the gays, real quick, not to cut you off, but they told the gays to stay away from the children out there. And it's funny because that's one of those stereotypes that always drives me nuts, where it's like there's this one stereotype and they automatically compare you to something else. And I feel sorry for the gay community because the thing that they always go through is people automatically assume because people are gay, they're sexual deviants, and by nature, they're pedophiles. And so that's always the notion, is that, oh, that gay person, keep him away from kids because he's probably going to molest some kids. So
there's a big difference from a pedophile and a fag, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's two different things.
And I mean, like, who was the guy from, what was that college? Polinsky, Pulowski, or something? Test Little Boys?
Yep.
What was his name?
Polinsky?
Yeah.
Polinsky. Travi, get on this for me, please. but yeah, found the little boys, and he was a married man, you know what I'm saying? He had plenty of kids. Now, mind you, he could be a beard. and it'd just be a cover up, but I mean, but you know what though? If I can quickly say, I do believe though that gayness does spread. I felt like if I wasn't affected by the people that I was, I wouldn't have been the flamboyant sexual demon that I am. So I understand their logic. It's fucking retarded, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's gonna spread that way. I think it's more about lifestyle. So if you're used to seeing something, used to being something to be okay, well then you become okay with it. So not directly touching.
Yeah.
But I think I know what they were trying to aim for, but it just came out retarded.
Yeah, because that.
I feel you though, bro. I believe in comedy.
That statement.
Life has too many choices, but keep going.
No, that statement, fuck, I just lost my train of thought. No, desensitization is what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing, too. With
TV, if you go back to when was I.
Yeah, I can't hear you. Okay.
Oh, you couldn't hear me? Oh, my computer froze.
Oh, no way. Okay, we got to carry on the show due to technical difficulties. Is that what's really happening? I don't like that. All the pressure. Miss White Woman, how do you feel? Yeah?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, we're back. Okay, no.
Okay, yeah, my computer froze for a second. That was interesting. But, no, what it is the story of desensitization. If you go back to I Love Lucy, when was that out? In the 50s? I want to say that was in the 50s.
Yeah, I want to say late into the 60s that it became color, but after a while.
But when the I Love Lucy show came out, if you watch some of the earlier episodes, Lucy and what was her, Ricky? Was that the husband's name?
Ricky Ricardo, yeah.
Ricky Ricardo, that was his name. And they had two separate beds on different sides of the room. They would not let them sleep in the same bed on TV because they thought that that was being too sexually forward. It was too racy. Like, oh my God, two people in bed together, or two grown adults in bed together, they might be having sex, or just fucking silly. But as you notice, TV over time has changed so much where you do run into desensitization. After you see something so many times, it's not that big of a deal, where once you get down to later years or whatnot, you have fucking Bad Girls Club and all these different things, where even what's the show on Showtime, that the polyamorous show, that the swingers show thing.
I think it's called something
polyamorous,
it's like
love or something.
Couples, and they have like one dude and two girls that he's married to.
Yeah, but they like show those people like fucking on TV.
Yeah.
And like that.
Even Bad Girls Club, they show enough.
Yeah, Bad Girls Club is a lot of Bad Girls Club. Yeah. But yes, the desensitization, and that's what a lot of people get. Well, if you keep showing that something is okay, eventually everybody's going to think it's okay, and then they're going to go, well, whatever the fuck,
like,
is
like,
silly as shit.
Like Modern Family kind of, to me, I don't know if they weren't the first, but kind of reintroduced kind of like they're being gay couples and kind of making it cool. Modern Family makes the gays fucking seem awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to get
it. I never watched it.
I haven't either.
Modern Family is shit.
I keep hearing that, yeah.
But then the other shows where now it's like all gay dads, and it's like, oh, fuck, what are we doing?
I just saw a video they posted on, I think, WorldStar, because whenever anything goes viral, it goes on WorldStar, which is the devil, but I partake in the devil's pie every so often. And they had a video on WorldStar. What is the name of that Disney show?
I know. I'm Jesse. Oh,
there's a Disney show
Charlie.
Now that has some kind of gay thing.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a lesbian couple next door, and they introduce them. They kind of like
call it Charlie. I don't remember.
Is
the
it
actual
Charlie? Something like that.
I don't know the technical name of it.
But anyway, wherever the name of the show is, yeah, they introduced the gay couple next door. And the way they introduced it was actually pretty cool because it was just like, oh, she has two mommies. Okay, not that big of a deal. And then they kept going. And I was like, well, that's a positive way because you have shows back in the day that they used to really make it a big fucking deal. And they just kind of, I guess you could say, showing it as it's okay or whatever. But you could get into conspiracy theories with the Illuminati and Disney and the way that they're programming
good
children.
Luck,
and good luck, Charlie. There you go. But
I was going to say, it's probably really minor, but when it comes to, they do slowly implant things. And I have to say that SpongeBob may be a carrier of such fuckery, but back in the Hey Arnold days, there was a record store in there. And in the record store, there was actually a record that had SpongeBob and it had his likeness. So, I mean, unless the show miraculously happened out of fucking coincidence from this backdrop of a background, that shit was in there and it was just slowly kind of, hey, this is cool.
Yeah, and see, I've said that too about Disney. I was like, the reason why, and pointing at women, the reason why a lot of women, I think, choose bad mates, if you will, that whole chase the bad guy, and if you keep working with him, eventually he'll become the good, nice guy that's going to take care of you. That goes back to the fucking Disney days. If you look at fucking Beauty and the Beast, that's the whole point of Beauty and the Beast, is that she found this beast, but if she keeps I could change him. The fucking the story
that's
of
why you want a bad boy.
All he needs is someone to love him.
Exactly. In the story of fucking Aladdin, I always thought Aladdin was so absurd. You have a fucking princess who's chasing a fucking hood rat who keeps running around stealing shit, but I'm gonna slum down with him and marry him. Disney is programming children, or women in particular, that just keep putting up with them. Eventually, if you just love them hard enough, they'll take care of you. And that's the reason why you got so many of these fucking young girls dating bum ass fucking niggas and hoping that if I just keep loving him, he'll eventually change, he'll stop going upside my head. It's Disney. It's fucking Disney.
It doesn't even have to go as far as being beat, though. It's just the fact of girls.
I know. I just wanted to go all.
I know.
I go all the way over.
I think Beauty and the Beast had it the most legit. It was a beast. He, you know, he's ugly. He's terrible. He's a millionaire. Oh, fell in love.
Oh, he got that cake, yo.
It happens all the time.
So, and speaking of somebody with cake, we could segue into the next story. Richard Sherman. Now, I know, Popo, you're not that much of a sports person, but do you know who...
Foosball?
He gets down with the foosball? That's what he does?
That's a Waterboy reference.
Fucking Richard Sherman, a story just came out.
No relations.
Richard Sherman's dad still drives a garbage truck. The story, and this is from BleacherReport.com, says Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman is considered one of the best defensive players in the NFL, but even given all of his success, his dad, Kevin Sherman, still won't accept any financial support from his son.
Is that right?
According to the Los Angeles Times, Sherman's dad has been driving a garbage truck for 26 years. He gets up at 3:45 a.m. to work, and even during holidays, so he can get paid overtime. And Sherman's dad left Christmas Day early so he can get back to work the next day. And you're the one, Skips is the one, you're the one that brought up this story. I know you wanted to chime in about it.
What?
Well, no, I just like the story because people, you know, after Richard Sherman went off and was overly amped up after he won that game or whatever, and everyone was calling him a thug and all this kind of stuff, to see what kind of background he comes from, it's like, he's not a thug. He's not, you know, whatever word they want to use to describe him.
He don't give his daddy, though. He don't give
his daddy. He doesn't want the money. It's not saying that he doesn't give it to him, but the fact that he comes from a good upbringing and he did really good in school and all that kind of stuff, it's like, people only see one 5-second video and like, oh my god, the guy's a thug, or he's a
motherfucker was on cocaine, he was amped and he was weird.
Yeah.
Yo, and
be amped up.
Fucking, I forgot. I think it might have been the Daily Show that really put it all together. They were saying how you have all the shit going on with Justin Bieber right now. You have all the shit going on with that Toronto mayor Rob Ford. You got them making all these felonious, or they're breaking all these crimes. They're doing all this bullshit and all that, and all these news clips. They keep the Bad Boys of Canada, and they're just, you know, doing all this. They were calling like the Bad Boys of Canada coming to your town, and they're just
because
the
Bieber.
Yeah, because Bieber and the the Rob Ford story, right? The Toronto mayor. The crack smoking Toronto mayor.
Yeah.
That guy.
Crack smoke's such a fucking thing now for mayors. Like,
This is the thing. Shouts out to Mayor and Barry. Mm-hmm. But, they were just showing a bunch of news clips of all these people who are like, just celebrating, just how bad these guys are. And they're just having a good time and so on and so forth. And the day after Richard Sherman did that whole thing, the word thug was used 625 times on the news the next day in reference to Richard Sherman. And Richard Sherman simply played a football game, made a game-winning play, went to shake the dude's hand that he intercepted the ball from. The guy pushed him in the face. They interviewed the guy afterwards, and it was a white woman that interviewed him, and he was still amped up and angry, and it was a black man speaking loudly after a game with that poor white woman next to him, and everybody was calling him a fucking thug. And the thing that's so fucking silly.
You gotta behave around white people. Fucking acting all that like that.
I've always said white women have superpowers, and just all of them don't fucking realize that y'all have superpowers.
Bring out the best in you. The best that there's gonna be.
But fucking, you have the whole Richard or the whole thing that I think that I just find absurd is that you have these players who are playing football. You put them on a field. You pay them millions of dollars to fucking ram into each other, fuck one another up, just get violent and so on and so forth. But the second they step off that field, you better get back in check and watch how you're talking in front of people. That is so fucking silly. We pay them millions of dollars to be barbarians and then get mad when they're still amped up when they come off the field. That's fucking absurd.
Kind of like how many basketball players wear ties, or what was there? Wasn't there a big deal where you had to wear?
Yeah, they had it made them dress up, wasn't it?
Yeah, they made them. They could no longer.
Jungle Bun is dance.
You got to get jeans.
Exactly. Dance, you're going to look good.
And that's exactly what it is. They stopped them from wearing hip-hop gear. That's what it came down to, was that they couldn't wear any hip-hop gear, and they had to start dressing like professional businessmen. Yeah. I get it on one side that you're paying these guys millions of dollars. You want them to represent your company a certain way. But it's just always interesting where it's the black players that you guys are telling to watch how you dress. You're not talking to these rock and roll guys over here with gauges in their ears. No, it's the black guys. You pull your pants up and you dress a certain way while you're in society, but it is what it is. But going back to the Richard Sherman thing, like you said earlier, apparently when Richard Sherman was in high school, he had a 4.5 GPA.
Whoa.
He had a 1200 STA score. He was out of Compton, and people were calling him a thug. No, this is a well-spoken, intelligent man. You could call Allen Iverson a thug. He was a fucking thug. Right. You could call a lot of these other players. This is an intelligent fucking man, but because he got loud in front of a white woman, fucking Fox News especially, I'm watching you Fox News, the motherfuckers got pissed off, and it's so fucking silly. It's silly. So I don't know. I see you over there, Papo. That's hookah, y'all.
Trying,
don't worry,
this ain't working. That's why God gave us this shit and fire, and we had to figure it out.
Exactly.
Richard Sherman, but you know what, we got to say, did the Seattle, what are they called, Seahawks? Did they not take it? Did they not put an
They
ass
dominated on? That
Yo,
shit.
Yeah. Not only do I feel bad, and I feel bad, nobody ever feels bad for Mayweather, not only do I feel bad that he lost $10 million, but I was so convinced because all the analysts, were what they're saying were true.
Yeah.
Technically, fucking the Broncos should have had it, and their reverse effect happened. Fuck the game. That game wasn't cool. The commercials weren't even all that great. Like,
no.
when my buddies came over to visit me, all we were fucking doing, we're on our phones. I ain't giving a shit.
Yeah.
But the coolest part, though, obviously being such a big deal, they had a parade. Sonny, the urban area, they've never won a Super Bowl, right? They've never been, you know, really the center of any sort of attention besides, you know, Kurt Cobain's dad or, you know, fathering Kurt Cobain and, you know, whatever nonsense. But they had this parade, and, you know, there's this thing I saw in the news about it being such a big deal. You know, kids were going to call home, you know, calling for school. They actually made it okay, like legally, like if you're, you know, if the parents give permission, like kids can miss school. And there's kind of like a debate of as to would you do that? Would that be cool? I mean, you got to show love, right? And, would you guys do
and that's it? Actually a good, interesting question to throw over to a mother. What is your opinion on them letting the kids skip school for that?
I don't see anything wrong with it. It's one day, maybe even a couple hours. It's not even like you're taking off a week. just to celebrate, but I think it's good to celebrate or get behind your home team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Show
pride. Unfortunately,
we
don't have that in Arizona. Everyone talks shit about us being Arizona Cardinals fans, but I could care less.
I got so upset that year we were in the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh because I was really rooting from them from day one. We had a real good squad. We were really doing good that year. The playoffs started. I was like, yo, that was the last year I was really watching football, and I was like, yo, we have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. I was like, we can do this. Everybody's like, shut up. We made it to the Super Bowl, and it drove me nuts that people I was talking to from Arizona was like, they're just going to lose anyway.
Yeah.
That's exactly what is wrong with this fucking state. This state does not have any pride in itself, and that's the reason why we don't have any famous rappers from out here. That's the reason why don't nobody want to come out here and play for any of our sports team. Yeah, and that's the thing. We're a tourist spot.
Yeah. No, we're a melting pot, meaning people just come here from different places.
Not
a whole lot of people except for you. Papa, where are you from?
Yeah, you're born and raised.
Born and raised here too.
South Side.
Born and bred.
Just kidding. But everyone's from somewhere else, so they're representing from where they're from, which is great. But there's not enough Arizona fans there.
And we don't really have so much of a culture. So, I mean,
because
we know our technically our coach belongs to the Indians. We put them in a little spot. Our reservation. We don't
get on that reservation. But no, that is the thing, because Arizona is a melting pot. That is the correct term. It is a melting pot, just like New York is a melting pot, but New York has a culture about it. So people go to New York and it's a melting pot, but people have pride of being in New York. So people start rooting for New York shit, as opposed to people come out here in Arizona and then they shit on it. And then the people from Arizona are ashamed of rooting for stuff from Arizona. We said the same thing going back to when Willie North Pole CD dropped. Mm. I went to Best Buy and I bought that motherfucker the first week it came out, and I don't know how many people from Arizona was acting like crabs in a bucket and was like, fuck Willie, he ain't gonna do this, he ain't gonna do that. Of course he's not gonna do nothing, because his own fucking home state didn't support him, but whatever, it's fucking silly.
And because we just honestly, and I hate to be such a great representation of Arizona, but we have a bunch of hating ass motherfuckers, and I know I hate a lot, but I mean, I at least do it with love.
I got hate my blood.
I got hate my blood. I knew Jesus for that reason, but no. That's what it is. It's just we cook the same way. Shit.
Yeah.
But, we can't ever like nothing, you know?
No, I think it's
on
silly.
Earth. Come on, get that out.
Right?
There's no such thing.
Yeah, ain't no love. And don't our next topic sing about love? She used to.
Yeah, used to sing about love, and now she's singing about being bankrupt, but this is some fucked up shit. Actually, you sent this, Skip sent this link to me. You want to read it?
Okay,
do you have it up on you?
Okay,
I'm going to go ahead and load it up.
I got to do cues for her so she can kind of... You're going to be talking about this?
I bet I got it. It says, R&B star Toni Braxton has purchased a $3 million home, just months after resolving her bankruptcy problems. The Unbreak My Heart hitmaker landed in financial trouble in 2010 when she filed for bankruptcy for a second time.
Second time.
Ooh, can that happen?
That's why I sent you this report, because I was like, two times bankruptcy, now you're buying a $3 million. Anyways, when reports suggesting she was struggling with debts of between $10 million to $50 million.
That's crazy.
She settled the case by paying $150,000 last July, and now she appears to be back on track after buying a new luxury home. But if you had between $10 to $50 million in debt, you go buy a $3 million home after you get out of bankruptcy. Isn't that kind of
that's kind of silly?
Purpose? Like, why would you go do that?
See, and that's like it's. I'm a sympathizer. I always try to look at certain things from two different sides of it. And normally, like I see a lot of times, or I'll see a certain celebrity, like you use Lil' Kim, for instance, when she went bankrupt and everybody was taking her shit and she was losing her cars and all that. The one thing that
I'm trying to
he's not listening.
I'm trying to holler. Can you please let me holler at the
language,
please?
Want to do sign language? We can do sign language.
All I know is death. No, seriously, I made fun of it, and I totally didn't want to make fun of it really quickly.
Well, oh, no, go ahead.
That the one that got all bitchy on the Facebook thing, this girl knew how to do sign language, and he kind of has a playful sort of thing. I wanted to learn a little bit about your sign with it, but I thought they were talking shit.
Yeah.
And they kept going back and forth looking like fucking retard monkeys. And I said that to the girl, how they appeared to me.
Yeah.
And she has a deaf brother, or she had a deaf brother, and that's why she had to learn. So there's all this, like, oh, shit. So I had to learn, like, little key phrase. It didn't get me nowhere.
You ain't get no ass out of it. No, unfortunately not.
But I'm saying I wanted to just spark
that.
That's why.
But no, I being a Gemini, a lot of times I look at things from two sides of it. And so, like, going back to the Lil' Kim thing, when Lil' Kim went through bankruptcy and they were taking all her shit and all that, I sympathize on one level of it because, you know, you live according to your standard. Like, you make X amount of money a year, and so you're going to live to that means. Standard. Yeah, you're going to live to those means.
Yeah.
Now, if your money starts falling off, it's not that easy to go from living a millionaire life to living a $12 an hour life. And so sometimes I sympathize with the people when they can't get their spending in control because it's like they've been living a certain way. It's just kind of hard to completely roll it back in. But fuck Tony Braxton in this situation because you didn't file bankruptcy twice and you're still making the same. Fuck you. If you lose this house, bitch, I have no sympathy. What was the song? Can't hold my breath for my love or whatever. The bitch is gonna hold her breath looking for another fucking house and nobody's gonna fuck her.
I wanna quote a line of hers, you know, there's a thing
that's
break my heart. Something about over and over again. So she's telling you, she said what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna fuck y'all money.
I'ma keep fucking up over and over again. You just gotta deal with it. So
if my credit has to be messed up because and it's gonna be labeled that way and I almost have that dirty mark on my shit, I should not be able to get something solo here. Then again,
it is what it is. What is, wait, who's typing notes in? I just saw some notes. Hire and Youngster. Oh, you were typing in notes.
Yeah, we did touch on that. And if we're gonna fucking move along from being high and from supposed to, because when you come from bankruptcy, there should be no coming back, right? And coming back twice.
You could file bankruptcy multiple times. You're not supposed to, but you could file bankruptcy multiple times.
But
so,
in the line of rum of credit, it should be difficult to build back up again, right? Usually it's a death mark, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, there's recently two stories that kind of happened that I kind of wanted to bring to you guys. It's a surviving tale, though. One was a Mexican who got cast away for a whole year. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw that.
Mm-hmm. He had a little boy with him. The little boy wasn't to be found, was used for a booty, who knows? But the motherfucker didn't survive. The other guy apparently was a fisherman, survived off that. I don't know how this happened, but pretty much he survived. A whole year.
Yeah.
Going a whole year and living from that, right? That's a good story. Next story, and Trav, our correspondent out in Philly, looked this up. There's a story of a most recent dude, I think it was in California, I'm guessing. Some dude, I think it was a white man, I don't remember. It's not important. Yeah. He got attacked by a goddamn lion.
Yeah.
Had his shit totally, severed off, and I don't know what kind of surgery he has. Dude's alive. He survived it. Now, if mind you, this is a happy ending because you live, but if you can choose for a way to have to suffer, either a whole year at sea, being limited to water even though you're around it at all times, being able to eat nothing but fish, or to be mauled, but live after a while, you lose a little boy, you might have killed him, you might have ate him, you're right, who knows, that's really not on the table. But to survive that, or to survive a lion attacking you, what would you rather do? Arizona first, start with you.
Me personally, I would rather get mauled by a lion. I am, and Skip could chime in on this, I do not fuck with the sea. I don't fucks with it.
You would die right away. You wouldn't know how to survive.
Yo, fuck that. I do. That's the reason why, I would love to travel abroad and go to another fucking country. I don't think I could fly over water. I am people. I don't fuck with the ocean. I look at we have Mars and we have these stars and all that. The ocean is an alien planet, and it's on the same fucking planet that we're on. And it just, I couldn't fucking do the whole cruise ship or be on a boat. I can't do that shit because we don't know what the fuck is in there. We've literally have seen more of the surface of Mars than we've seen the ocean floor on Earth. We literally know more what is on Mars than we do in our own fucking ocean.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I'm not fucking with that. That whole Cloverfield movie, that motherfucker could be alive down there.
Yeah, yeah.
He could be alive down there. I don't fuck with the sea. So Let me get Maul by a lion. I'm not fucking with that.
No,
what about
just so you know, you ain't finna look the same. You ain't finna look the same.
I know. See, that's what I would have a hard time with. I don't think I could do
that. See,
the
look
lion
at y'all
thing
with y'all vanity. Well, okay, all, just know. All y'all worried about is your damn looks.
Girl, well, imagine how skinny we would be being on a podcast. Right? So what would you pick? So what would you do?
It would be, it's hard because now that I'm a mom, it would be hard to be away for a year like that.
Yeah.
But at least you'd still be alive. You'd have all your parts and all that stuff. But after watching that Blackfish documentary, that's scary because you're at the mercy of the sea and what's in it, and you're like the littlest thing out there.
Yeah. Well,
if you could survive, it would be a.
I think it'd be more of a mental thing. How do you want to get fucked? Do you want to get fucked mentally? Because imagine being there for a year. You're going to talk to yourself. You're going to be all this.
Yes.
Or would you rather suffer physically and not look like you?
See, you got to imagine, too, being out on sea for a year where literally you're basically in solitary confinement, if you will, for a year. Yeah. That is going to melt your brain. And even though you're physically capable, when you come, you will never mentally be the same, because after being at sea for a year, your mind is elsewhere and you're going to make imaginary friends and shit like that to keep yourself company.
Wilson.
And once you come back to society, you're not going to be able to you're not going to be able to disconnect
happens,
that.
If that's what happens too, because I know with the story with the Mexican dude, they don't really know what was going on that whole year.
Yeah.
So you don't know if he was with other people, if he went to an island or all that kind of stuff too. Like interacted with people here and there. So you weren't, I don't think he was by himself the whole entire time. That just seems kind of crazy.
I don't know. That's what's going to happen. I mean, he was, or else, because I said he had a little boy with him.
Yes.
Something happened.
But how does he, I can't imagine him seriously surviving on a boat by himself in the middle of the ocean.
He's a fisherman. But to state the one factor was he actually was a fisherman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so as far as eating that, he ate a turtle, apparently, they talked about. And he was a fisherman. He
poor Michelangelo. You know, there are fucking, that's supposed to be like real healthy for you. Like one of the most healthiest things you're supposed to do is when you wake up the first time you pee, you're supposed to drink it, and it puts some type of nutrients back in you. And there's several MMA fighters who, when they wake up, they drink their piss. It's supposed to be very healthy. Just like when mothers give birth, you're supposed to eat the placenta. No. You're supposed to eat that.
Yeah.
All those nutrients are that you lost from giving birth are in there. You're supposed to eat that shit.
Ladies, I'll eat that shit.
Oh shit!
You really are supposed to have no. I mean, they said it isn't. They, I mean, just kind of what was the old facial cream thing with the dude's spludge? It is supposed to be good for the skin. God designed this by design for a particular reason. No, I'm just saying that's just truth, and that's all that is.
Oh. I think you froze. Oh, you good?
I should be, and I would hope so. What's going on? Are you gonna throw a case?
No, looks like you good. But actually, speaking of people who should have froze. Kanye West apparently had to settle out of court for assaulting an 18-year-old in Beverly Hills. He settled for $250,000. We talked about this, I think, when it happened. The whole story, for anybody who missed it, was that Kim Kardashian got dropped off at some type of chiropractor or some type of physical therapy thing. And as she went in, this guy held the door open for her and called her a nigger lover and just went all off and inward this, inward that. Apparently, she was very distraught. She called up Kanye, who apparently came in, walked right up to the kid and repeatedly punched the kid at least 30 fucking times, like whooped the kid's ass. And Kanye now has to pay $250,000 for assaulting that man, which goes back to, once again, I see things from two different sides of it. A lot of people are like, well, Kanye's a millionaire. That $250,000 is not a big deal. My issue is once again, how we hold celebrities up to a certain regard. We have paparazzi fucking chasing them all in their lives, hopping over fences as they're with their family, taking pictures through their window and all that. And then when a celebrity snaps and whoops a fucking paparazzi person's ass, you're like, oh man, they're so emotional. You know, that's what you chose to do and all that. I'm like, no, that's fucking silly. He enjoyed making music. He got famous off of making music. And unfortunately, it's a gift and a curse to it. But that doesn't mean that you could just fucking act like they're not human and just treat them a certain way. I'd whoop somebody's ass if you fucking walked into a chiropractor and somebody saw you getting out the car with me and was like, oh, you fucking nigger lover. I'd beat the dude's fucking ass. And it's like, just because...
Wait, so are you getting upset because motherfuckers stated facts?
I'm beating their ass!
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's just so fucking silly with celebrities.
I can feel your aggression.
Feel the passion. Ooh, you're up there,
just get so mad.
You acting how white women make me feel right now.
But I sympathize with celebrities in situations like this because it's just fucked up the way we treat them a certain way, and then you paparazzi purposely do things to make people react. And then, like, because I listened, Roseanne Barr was on the Joe Rogan podcast not too long ago, and she was talking about when she started getting away from the celebrity fame and stopped wanting to be in the spotlight. She said she one time she was in a car and a whole bunch of paparazzi people were hopping up and down on her car, just yelling at her, trying to take pictures and all that. And some dudes were outside the window and was like, hey, do you want me to whoop this dude's ass for you? And she told them, yeah. So they beat these paparazzi dudes' ass, but the paparazzi people overheard it. And so she got sued and ended up spending like $500,000 and all that. And she was like, you know what? I don't want to be famous anymore. If I'm just at fault for everything and everybody could attack me and do anything, anytime I retaliate, I just got to keep spending money. I'd much rather not be a celebrity anymore. That's when she fell back and started doing the behind the scenes shit.
Right. So that's what we talk about a lot too, is I would not want to be famous and have walking to our house and Kai throwing a fit, and then they're being like, oh my god, her son's out of control.
Skips and Arizona Verse cannot take care of their child. It's just so fucking silly how those things are. Just
Well, Biggie's big ass said it best himself when he said, more money, more power.
More money, more power.
Under a microscope, you should know better. Justin Bieber, motherfucker, like, I saw a picture of him and Rick Ross looking real boss-like. And I was thinking to myself, like, well, of course this motherfucker's going to think that it's Jake Swain, like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, the blank thing, because he's part of it. He's living the thing, and I'm pretty fucking sure he sticks his dick out. There's going to be a mouth to jump on it real fast. And God bless him for it, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Plus, he's young. He's turnt. He lived that turnt life.
Bieber has probably been getting sucked up since he was 12 years old. Yo. There's no way. He's been fucking 14, forever. 14, was it 14 when he blew up? He's been getting domed up since he was 14. I'm pretty sure he done fucked so many fucking famous older bitches, and I won't even get into all that, but yeah.
Yeah. No, well, I wanted to say something. I forgot. I guess that's what drugs are for.
Yeah. They did start a petition to send him back to Canada.
Oh, yeah. They can legally deport him.
I was like, I've never heard of them wanting to send people back to Canada. So I thought
I mean, just how they want to send Mexicans back. If we're fucking up, they can do it. And with this track record, I mean, it's not going to be too long or hold of a thing.
That's funny.
Again, Chavy chimed in saying that line, attack with some bullshit. Well, it happened. Are you calling me out saying that it's wrong? It's a story. I heard it on the news. It happens. It's just fun and bad. But yeah, just be... Now I remember what I was going to say. It's funny because this whole lifestyle, you know, that, you know, the turnt life, actually now makes that stupid, I hate the fuck back, Little B, when you do the song, Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
That's... as being turned.
And I don't even know the whole details of it, but apparently Lil B just did a whole lecture at some college about called Thank You Base God, and it was a whole like 2-hour lecture. Like, I refuse to even, like, I know who Lil B is. I know about the whole Base God movement. I've heard all the different guys who would be like, please fuck my girl Base God and all that. Like, there's a huge movement with him. But I refuse for the life of me. I will not fucking listen to any of his music because I don't want to get caught up in that fucking ignorance. I'd like some ignorance. I get down with the Trinidad James and the 2 Chainz. I like some good ignorance. That's some ignorance I don't want to fuck with. That's a Lil B cult. And the motherfucker is doing...
All right, now, just really quickly, where do we draw the line from purposeful ignorance, which is your 2 Chainz, Trinidad James, thank you. What does Plies come into? Because I think to me, is he a quote-unquote real nigga?
Plies is interesting to me because I haven't listened to a whole bunch of his stuff.
He's apparently a very smart man.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I've heard a lot about how intelligent Plies is, and that's the reason why, as fucked up as it is with 2 Chainz, like 2 Chainz graduated from college with like a fucking 4.0. So him being ignorant, he's being ignorant on purpose to make money off of it because he knows there's no money in being intelligent, unfortunately. Then
he's doing everything Spike Lee said not to do.
Yeah. And going to Trinidad. Trinidad has shown in interviews, he's not like college educated, but you could tell he has a he has a very good common sense to him. Like, you hear him in conversation, he knows what, he's not as fucking stupid as a lot of people think. Same thing with 50 Cent.
He's a well-to-do black man.
He's a well-to-do. And going to 50 Cent, like, 50 Cent, when he first came out with the gangsta ass shit, 50 blew up because he got shot 9 times and all that. But 50, you could tell he's a chess player. 50 knows what he's doing, and I could tell that 50 has read The Art of War by Sun Tzu, because one of the number one rules in fighting the enemy is that you are supposed to have your enemy underestimate you. You're never supposed to let your enemy know how intelligent you are. You want them to underestimate you so then you could conquer them, and they'd be like, damn, I underestimated what they can do. And I can tell 50 lives by that rule, because 50 is way smarter than he gives off. He does all that dumb shit on purpose. So those people, I'm like, they're playing a game right now. They're playing the system to make money off of it. Base God is just a dumb fuck. He's just dumb.
That nigga dumb.
That nigga dumb, yo. So, speaking of something that wasn't dumb,
you're killing
dumb,
me
though,
with those looks. Sorry.
I know.
Very entertaining.
What's wrong? Well, get on the
ground. That wasn't that. But speaking of something that I personally didn't find dumb, has anybody seen the new Shakira and Rihanna steamy video, Can't Remember to Forget About You? Because I can't forget, or I can't remember to forget about this video after seeing this lesbian love fest. I personally enjoyed it. I know Popo had a different opinion.
Can we watch it again? And I'm not even saying because I found it all as alluring as they're obviously trying to do.
Yeah.
But I really didn't fucking watch it. I caught a bit of it. Yeah. I caught the Illuminati-esque sprinkles of crack on the show.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's the thing to do now.
So, but I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Now,
fucking, I still don't know how to fucking like, play the shit live on the show and have people hear it. I still don't know how to do that. So, I am going to post the video on the IBHMpodcast.com website so people can take a look at it and watch it. And it was an interesting video. The article that they have here says Shakira is back with a brand new steamy music video, and this time Rihanna has also come along for the ride. The Colombian stunner has teamed up with Bajin Beauty for the provocative Can't Remember to Forget About You clip. And it's funny because there's so much fucking Illuminati symbolism in it with the black and white stripes and just so much shit on here, but whatever. But yeah, the video was real racy. One thing I will say, I did not know Shakira had an ass. I have never I've never followed her.
Where the fuck have you been, sir?
Yo, I don't follow her. And I saw that video, and it's a picture of her with the red dress on. I was looking, I love Shakira, a little bit of ass. Yo, I didn't even know that, yo. I didn't know that. I see you, Skip. So I'm talking about Shakira's ass right now. I do not care. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there.
I don't care. You can look at her ass all you want to.
When you guys go out, and
she's really
her,
cute, but I don't like the way she sings.
I know she has that odd voice.
Know woman,
what's up,
Shakira? Yeah, like
yeah.
She
kind of
like it has that annoying Sofia Vergara. I forget what her name is from Modern Family. Sofia Vergara.
Yes.
She's a huge Latina with cans. Her, I feel like she. I would love to think that she's playing on the accent isn't for real, because she genuinely has an annoying ass accent. But they purposely, when she talks, they make her. Well, they want her to sound authentic.
I wonder though, because like Erica, sorry, I don't want to do this, but Erica Mena from Love and Hip Hop and her girlfriend Sin Santana, they do the same thing. Like there's sometimes where it's like they talk without the accent, and then other times it comes out like too much, and I'm like, wait a minute, which one is this?
Yeah.
Is that just how you talk, or is you trying to put on like
show,
a?
But then again,
front.
It's about the drama, right?
Yeah.
Well. And actually, Joe Budden recently, I didn't even read the article, but Joe Budden has come out and he's talking about that show is not that authentic. Like he's come out and he's like, there's so much. Producing with that show.
With any reality show.
With any, and I'd say it all the time. If you're watching a show that has a producer on it, it can't be a reality show because reality doesn't need a producer because it's reality. So if somebody's producing it, they're producing how the show is going.
Yeah.
One thing that I figured out, and I don't want to give my details because you believe in the Bible, so don't tell your right hand what your left hand doing or vice versa. But I would want to have a reality show because I know that the best way to do it, the way that you tear a woman is by telling a woman, you know what I'm saying, what's up. So like if you know, like it's kind of like, all right, this is how I would do it if I would have a little thing. And I figured how, it would be real world-esque, obviously.
Yeah.
But the gays, I would use the gays to spread the disease. You give them the gossip, ooh, and then it tells it, then it becomes, oh shit, girl. And you know? Everyone hates the line, all that good stuff. That's how you start a controversy. You gotta start a ruckus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think honestly, the way I would do it.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who did, Girls Gone Wild, what's his name?
Oh, I don't know his name, but I know
Joe,
who you're talking about.
Oh my gosh.
Joe some shit who has an island. Anyways, this motherfucker. And I always appreciate a man who knows how to exploit women. But this motherfucker, did you ever watch Spring Breakers? The movie with James Franco?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it, no.
And some of the Disney stars. To do that. Well, anyways.
Joe Francis,
yes. He is kind of like the ultimate perv. Like, you know, like, I don't know how it is to be in a porn set. But yeah. I would imagine you want to get the talent comfortable.
Yes.
And, you know, get them very a la mode, introduce the guy.
You want to smack him with your penis a couple times, get him ready.
You kind of get to fluff him. You have to, just how a dude get the fluffer.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You fluff him a little bit. And then, so, I mean, that's where the instant game happens. That's where I want to say, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank right now. Who the hell fucked the Beatles? Forget her name.
Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono. Not to say that that's what happened, but
yeah,
her. You get some to you know make this one dude think, hey, yeah, you're the star, you're the best, you are the Beatles, which I mean can be debated, and I am a Paul McCartney fan, but I'm not gonna say it out, you know, for yeah, what it is. But yeah, you get one to think that, and bam, all of a sudden you got all these options. Mm-hmm. You can do so much better. Don't we live in a world where we want better? I want more.
I'll give you that. But it's funny because any Beatles fan hates and despises Yoko Ono with a passion. She is the one that fucked the Beatles or completely fucked that shit up. But no, going back to the whole reality thing, that is the whole point. Because I've seen a couple of behind the scenes things where they do a certain scene and then maybe the camera wasn't set up right or something like that, and they're like, can you guys repeat that conversation, and we're just gonna go ahead and record it again. And so I don't know, but it's just, yeah, but Love and Hip Hop, and I forgot even how we even got to the subject.
It was,
what were
we
talking about?
Sorry.
Oh, we were talking accents. That's what it was. I was like, I don't even remember how we got here. We got some viewers, y'all.
I can't see myself, so I don't know what it looks like.
That's you right there.
I can't see it. I don't have my thing up. Okay. You make me nervous.
So nervous. Papo make people so nervous.
Really, real talk, and I hate to even admit it, but it is pretty apparent. And I wanted to talk about one of my, I don't know whether to call it a gift or what it is, but I can clear a room. I feel like I'm the sweeper guy that kind of comes in, all right, motherfuckers, everybody out. I say some shit that's like, and
awkward.
I don't know if it's aggressive. What is it? Well, I don't know what is it. People say I'm too assertive. And I feel
aggressive?
I think assertive is the right one.
And so I try to be all the more humble but that's a filter to me. Just kind of like how I had to behave myself normally. And as soon as you get here, I want to leave because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Which I've said multiple times, you don't have to leave as soon as I get here.
No, well, that's how
you can
I
hang
feel.
Out all you want.
White
to.
Ones here, get the fuck out.
I would never say that, number one. Funny. And number two, I'm just going to do whatever I need to do to get ready for whatever we're doing. You can do whatever you want to. Just don't make it awkward.
Well, that's the thing.
Awkward.
That's the troubling part.
Well, I know.
My old time, this is my kryptonite, and I hate when bitches tell me this.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it hasn't happened too much, but when it does and I hear it, whoo, it's a flick to the nipple and also fucking something inserted to the tank. Fucking when you hear the word that you killed it. Oh, no, don't tell me I did that. I didn't want to do the killing. Not of that. I wanted to slay some things, but I didn't want to kill it. That means I have to leave. You know? That's horrible. Yeah.
That's funny.
So apparently I do that a lot. So I'm wondering, like, if I were to try to get into stand-up and try to do that, like, what are the chances that it's either going to be fuckers just storming out completely, motherfuckers still in the middle of their meal and they're storming out, or if they get my ass beat?
See, and that's the beautiful thing about comedy, though, because a lot of people, except silly-ass people, but people go to comedy to, quote-unquote, be offended. Like, you can get up and you could say basically anything you want to because it's comedy. And at the end of the day, because that's the reason why I always pick on certain people about certain jokes they get upset about. And it's like, you laughed when they were making fun of Asians, but when they started making fun of you, you got offended. And it's like, well, don't laugh when they make fun of Asians. I've always said the same thing about what's his name? Louis C.K. Louis C.K. had I love Louis C.K. And he's used the N-word with the hard R in a couple jokes. And I've seen people get offended by it. But I'm like, you as a black person can't get offended at Louis C.K. using the N-word in a joke when you found Chris Rock's cracker ass cracker stick my foot in the crack of a cracker's ass so damn funny. You can't laugh at this, but then get offended when the joke's on you. Because at the end of the day, every joke, somebody's at the butt of every joke. So just because it didn't offend, this joke didn't offend you, eventually there's going to be a joke that offends you, and you can't laugh at everybody else. Oh, then you're picking on me now. That's not funny. Like, people get so fucking silly. But going back to you about being a comedian, that's the whole point of being a comedian. You get up there and you get to give someone the raw reality of this is what I think, this is how I put two and two together and all that. And people are either going to love it or they're going to... But it is what it is.
Mm.
Papo's thinking we may have a future stand-up comedian.
I think
right
you should
here.
Do it.
I would hope so. Would you guys go to a show?
I would so fucking.
I'll be there.
Yeah. I would so go to a Dick Papo fucking comedy show. I'm there.
You might have two supporters, but you'll have supporters there.
I'm almost considering if I should hire some hood niggas to.
I wouldn't go that far.
No. I mean, yeah, obviously, I'll wait till I have to get to the big leagues and I really start offending politicians. But I mean, whenever it gets to that point. I mean, I'd be a happy man regardless, but I'm saying the fact of being able to scare motherfuckers out. That's what, see, but apparently I spooked you out. See, you see what happens when I...
No.
I just,
I'm still here. Oh, I don't care.
Woman, you can't leave. This is your place.
I know. But I'm saying I'm not like, oh, I'm going to go hide in the room or anything when you're here, so...
Gosh, I don't like when that happens. When you guys were first together, obviously you guys were already living on your own, right? So it wasn't a matter of having really a beat. Like, how does it happen when the in-laws are around? Do you mind talking about that?
Oh, I don't care.
And when the in-laws are around, like, obviously everybody has to be in the family
room.
We
lived with his mom for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah, the first...
I remember that.
Yeah. We all, like, were roommates.
In the soul soy?
Yeah. Wait, what?
And then, like, in the soul soy?
Yeah, dance on them. But yeah, moms, yeah, was staying with us and all that, and then yeah, it's whatever. Like I said, it's funny because there's certain conversations I haven't had with your dad because we have completely like different political views. It's not even on some old like. I don't even know how to say it, but it's just we have different political views, and so it's just certain conversations.
We do too, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, and it's just certain, and that's my thing with a lot of different people. Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I know.
Okay.
But that's my whole thing with a lot. There's certain conversations I won't get into with certain people because it's like you're already 100% certain about this one thing. I'm not going to really debate with you because
we're not going to contribute anything.
Yeah, we're just going to run in circles. Yeah, we're just going to keep going in circles. And so, like, even there's a cat that I used to work with back in the day, and there were certain things where he just 100% felt this way about certain things. And it's like, even though some of it I agree with and other things I don't, I'm not going to get in the conversation with you because we're just running in circles.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have a constructive conversation. And that goes back to my Neil deGrasse Tyson, my favorite quote of his, when he was like, he gets asked all the time if he's atheist or agnostic. He was like, don't label me either, because when you label me something, you've already made up your mind about what my opinion is. And that's why I say I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I don't like for people to call me a conspiracy theorist, because you've already made up your mind what my opinion is on something. Mm-hmm. So let's just have an open conversation. Let's leave it at that. So
that's my feeling with hipsters.
Goddamn hipsters.
Don't call me.
Don't
I'm
call me
hipster.
But speaking of some hipsters, the fucking Grammys just passed, what was it, last week? And did anybody here watch it? Skips?
Nope.
Did you watch it, Popo?
I'm sure that I did, but because it was so long ago, it was a week ago.
Was that a week ago?
Week ago, 2 weeks?
Something like that.
It was some, I forget, recap.
But no, a couple real quick, winners.
The White Song again, right?
Of course.
Okay.
And we'll get fully more into that. Shouts
Wait,
out.
Didn't we talk about this
out
last
to the
episode?
Whites. What's up?
We didn't talk about this last episode. Wasn't the
No, we talked. We talked about.
I
made a prediction on the year end. Yeah, the why because of the internet episode. I made a prediction then that Macklemore was going to sweep the hip hop awards. which he did.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that in a second. Just real quick, taking a look at what's on here. It looks like, this is my first time even seeing who won anything other than the Macklemore stuff. Looks like Daft Punk and Pharrell Williams won Record of the Year with Get Lucky.
Hey, which, did his hat annoy you or did not fucking annoy you?
Yo, the one thing that was hilarious, you know, I'm a wrestling head, actually. Let me pull up the shirt so people can see it. Yeah,
represent.
I got the WrestleMania shirt on, but fucking, the Royal Rumble was on at the same time. And so I'm on Twitter and I'm watching the Royal Rumble and I'm tweeting about it at the same time that the Grammys is on. But the one thing I knew was that Pharrell had an oversized fucking hat, because within 30 minutes of the show starting, his hat had its own Twitter account and his hat was tweeting, and it was so fucking hilarious. But that Get Lucky record with Daft Punk was actually interesting, because I heard not too long ago on the Juan Epstein podcast, Sean Paul was on there, and they were talking about that Get Lucky record, and I knew it's a good record. It's on my NBA 2K game, but I didn't know how big that record was. Apparently overseas, that record is fucking huge. So from a worldwide standpoint, that was the biggest record of the past year. Nothing was bigger than that worldwide. I personally like it.
I don't.
I fucks with you. Just a hater.
I'm not a hater. I just don't like it.
Just a hater. That's all I'm saying.
She's not a hater. She doesn't fuck with
And Papa, why am I looking at why am I looking at what looks like? Wait, I missed all that. What happened? I'm looking at Papa, what looks like an Illuminati symbol on your neck. Looks like your webcam went a little low. I can't see your face.
Oh, yes. It actually is. It's just my symbolism that I'm God. But anyways, plus I wanted to just talk about it. I want my face to look all stupid as a
man. Oh, do you say,
But what the hell are we talking about?
I don't remember. Oh, the Grammys, the Get Lucky song.
Oh, yes. Skateboard P. I will say his contributions to the Daft Punk I thought was really dope, but I fucking hate that Happy song. And I hope that kind of scares me a little bit, because I don't want to think that I'm not a happy person, because I feel I had much joy with White Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, it brings that out in me. But what I'm saying is I didn't like that, because they made literally 24 hours worth of music video. Did you hear about that?
No.
For that song, it was on the Despicable Me number 2.
I heard about it.
It won most original song. All the motherfucker says in the song is I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it won most original song, which is what upsets me. But anyways, and for the video, because you know he has his own channel, the I Am Mother, on YouTube.
Well, oh, okay.
He made 24 hours worth of music video for that one fucking song.
Yeah.
Kylie even makes a cameo in one of the
Oh videos. Yeah.
But each video is an hour long, so they have a video for every hour of the day. Is that not fucking ridiculous? I don't know. So it kind of drove me.
That's kind of crazy. That's cool. Interesting, but yeah.
Yeah. His hat, though. His hat.
Fucking hat. I know that was the biggest thing, but from a hip hop standpoint, the biggest story.
Fuck you, Trav. I blew the shit out of you. Keep going.
The biggest story from a hip hop standpoint was Macklemore. Let's be honest, robbed Kendrick Lamar at the Grammys as he swept the hip hop awards, like I said that he would. And the reason why I said that he would is because the Grammys has never really been big hip hop fans. But whenever there's a white rapper that comes out, the Grammys love them. Now, the thing is, though, I don't blame the Grammy committee. I blame, once again, us as minorities, because shouts out to Ebro from Hot 97. Ebro talked about it, because him being the head of Hot 97 Radio and all that, he gets hit up all the damn time about doing voting for different events and different awards and all that. And he's like, I never participate in any of that shit. And he was like, I'm part of the reason why Kendrick didn't win. They hit me up about coming in and voting, and he's like, nah, I got other shit to do. But the Grammy people who vote all the damn time, a lot of them are older white people, and they just know that same love song was huge. I guarantee the great majority of people have no idea what Malcolm Moore's album was even named. It was, oh, that's the same love guy, I'm gonna vote for him. And that's what it comes down to. So once again, it comes down to us as minorities not fucking participating and stuff, and white people participating. That's what it comes down to.
If you don't vote, you don't win.
Can I read that text that he sent to Kendrick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who sent what?
Macklemore.
Oh,
sent
you didn't see that?
Because they're like friends or whatever. And so Macklemore sent the text to Kendrick and put it on his Instagram.
No shit.
Yeah, and he said, "You got robbed. I wanted you to win. You should have. It's weird and sucks that I robbed you. I was going to say that during the speech. Then the music started playing during my speech, and I froze. Anyway, you know what it is. Congrats on this year and your music. I appreciate you as an artist and as a friend. Much love. Which I kind of thought was kind of shitty. I forgot about you. Sorry. I was just basking in my win. That's how I felt. He kind of was saying it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was getting all these awards. I meant to shout you out, but fuck you. That's basically what
much
it came
love.
Down to.
We're still
to.
Friends, but...
Yeah, Schoolboy Q still my dude, and I'm a VP on tracks, and I'm waiting for that fucking album, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that too. And it's actually interesting because another thing Malcolm Moore said, and that Malcolm Moore is one of those people. I like him, but he bothers me because he says all the right stuff. And I would really like to meet him. It's as silly as it sounds.
Perfect. Your PR work is astounding.
It's phenomenal. He says all the right stuff. And so I don't know if it's a case of him being just a genuine, real stand-up dude, or if he's just a PR advisor's wet dream, because he says all the right stuff.
Dude, that's what it is.
Coming back to that same love song, too, I know he has a gay uncle, so that's kind of where he was coming from, and he wasn't coming from, like, him
and
being
I still
a gay
can't
dude.
See you, Popo.
Hmm?
I still can't
still
see
hiding?
You. Oh, you still typing? Oh, do you think?
I'm distracted. I'm trying to put something on, and it doesn't work.
But no, yeah, that was the story that he said, because I know he was on Hot 97. He was getting interviewed by Angie Martinez, and Angie Martinez asked him what made him want to do the gay love song. And he said something about either his uncle, or he said a couple of his uncles are gay. It was something like that. So he was like, he grew up in an environment around gay people. And then so he was like, hip-hop never talks about gay people. So he was like, I wanted to do that. And it ended up blowing up. And, I mean, much love to him. You know, I have personally said that Malcolm Moore is a dope artist. He has horrible rhythm, though. I've said that a lot of times. His rhythm on beats is very choppy, but people think that he's an amazing spitter because he can rap fast, but he has no rhythm on records. Eminem has rhythm when he's on record and when he's rapping fast, even though recently Eminem has gotten very robotic with his flow, which he even mentioned on the Rap God song that he's starting to sound like a robot on his records. But one thing, going back to Malcolm Moore being a PR person's wet dream, he announced that he had an unfair advantage due to race at the Grammys, and he called his win a blessing and a curse. He said it's a blessing and a curse, a little bit more of the curse. First and foremost, Kendrick is a friend of mine. He's somebody that I love his music, and in my opinion, had the best rap album of the year. And knowing how the Grammys usually go, I knew that there would be a great chance that we'd win that award. In essence, rob Kendrick. That's what happened that night. It kind of sucks. I think we made a great album, but I think Kendrick made a much better rap album, and hands down, without a shadow of a doubt, Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City was one of the best hip-hop albums that I might go as far as to say of the last 10 years. I can't think of a hip-hop album over the past 10 years that was better than Kendrick's album, so he did get robbed. But it is what it is. Once again, us as African-Americans and as Mexicans and as minorities in general, we need to vote. We need to get out and say shit. We don't say enough shit. We sit around and we, you know, wait for white people to vote in our favor, and when it doesn't happen, we get mad at white people. I'm looking at you, Skips.
Like, what the fuck, Skips? What you gonna do for
his life?
What is your people gonna do to assist me, Skips?
We take care of our own.
Exactly. No, that's what it is, and there's nothing wrong with that, because white people take care of white people. Mexicans,
they got it together. They got the shit together.
Jews take care of Jews. Blacks take care of themselves. But that's what it comes down to. And black people, minorities keep getting upset that, hey, white people aren't looking out for us. That's not white people's job. White people are here to protect their own. Black people are supposed to protect their own, and so on and so forth. That's the reason why the Jews rule the fucking world, because they have been taking care of one another for thousands of fucking years. And yeah, I know, I get pent up about it. Anytime Jews come up. Anytime Jews get...
I get offended. Where's my money?
But speaking about something else I'm passionate about, it is Black History Month, which is funny. I posted a meme on Facebook not too long ago. It was a picture of a black kid and a white kid walking down the street, and the white kid said to the black kid, hey, it's Black History Month. Are you celebrating it? And then the black kid was like, no, I celebrate Black History all year long. That's for you guys. Because once again, yeah, black people, we do celebrate it all year long, and it's so silly that they gave us a month for it, but I get it.
I'm trying to say it's because black people are very arrogant and they're very
loud. Oh, no, we just...
Y'all rep it all the time because y'all live Earth Day.
Shouts out to the Hidden Color series, because black people really need to learn their history and people in general need to learn the history of this world. But one thing I did want to do, since it's Black History Month, every time Black History Month comes up, we always talk about Malcolm X and, or excuse me, not even Malcolm X. We talk about Martin Luther King, talk about Rosa Parks. We talk about the commercial black history shit that people always talk about, how we created peanut butter. I want to talk about something.
I do love y'all for peanut butter.
We made peanut butter. But I want to, not dedicate, but I want to bring up someone that.
In the refrigerator, right?
And watermelon.
Well, it's watermelon. Sure. Y'all known for watermelon.
We,
no, but it was in the fridge or something.
We invented way more shit than a lot of people realize, but I won't even go into that. But one thing that a lot of people aren't aware of, I want to real quick just bring up the story of Henrietta Lacks, who is an African-American woman who was the unwitting source of cells, which were cultured by George Otto G. to create the first known human immortal cell line for medical research. And it's known as the HeLa cell line. I'm going to put a link on the website where you guys can click on this. And essentially, this woman in 1951 went to Johns Hopkins Hospital because she felt a knot inside her. She had told cousins about the knot. She assumed that she was pregnant. After giving birth to her fifth child, she started bleeding abnormally and profusely. She was tested for syphilis, which came back negative, so on and so forth. Eventually, this woman died, and after she died, the cells from her tumor were given to this George G. guy, and essentially how cells work, the reason why you're only supposed to be able to live 120 years is that you have a cell and your cells die and reproduce themselves over and over. And so basically that's the reason why we age, because as your cells replicate one another, you get older and older because it's a copy of a copy. And as time progresses, the reason why you get older, you get weaker, so on and so forth. This woman had basically cells that did not die. And with her cells, they were able to produce a vaccine to cure polio and a whole bunch of other things. What's Popo doing?
He's messing with my camera.
I know Popo's messing with the camera right now. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. But no, so essentially this woman had the first human cells grown in the lab that were immortal and they could be used for conducting many experiments. And due to this, they were able to cure polio and a whole bunch of other diseases. And her cells to this day, fucking 60, 70 years later, are still alive and they're still curing diseases with it, but she never got credit for it. And people have made billions upon billions of dollars off of this woman's cells. So a black woman cured polio and many other fucking diseases, and great majority of people do not know about this. So this Black History Month, fuck talking about Martin Luther King for the 2100th fucking time. I know that goddamn story. I want people to research. What?
Wasn't he gay?
No, he was a philanderer.
Was that Malcolm X? Apparently it was stories of Malcolm X.
It's so many stories. And that's the whole thing. Anytime you have a black man do something, it's always a story about the reason why he was doing some dumb shit on the side, but yeah.
Well, we don't obviously want to honor the bad shit, and I don't want to be that guy that brings up.
I know. I think not with my
motherfuckers get 28 days. Goddamn shit. Enjoy that shit. Be grateful.
Be grateful. Goddamn it. We give you 28 days. But no, the story with Martin Luther King is that he was cheating on his wife. He was a philanderer. He couldn't keep his dick in his pants. And Malcolm X, I don't know too many rumors about Malcolm X. It was just the whole thing that he hated white people, which is interesting because after he traveled to Mecca and truly found God, he came back and he was like, you know what, even though I still have an opinion about white people, he's like, I realize I've been preaching this in a hateful manner and I need to stop preaching it in a hateful manner. I need to preach it in more of an informative manner so white people can be aware of the bullshit that they've been doing, and so then we could work together and make this shit work. But the reason why he isn't celebrated during Black History Month is he spent so much of his career talking about, he spent so much time as a quote unquote radical talking down about white people and white people running Black History Month, so they're not going to celebrate him. But research Henrietta Lacks. Y'all need to get to know that woman, because once again, black people have done a lot of shit that a lot of people in the world are not aware of.
Yeah, not just the crimes, but also obviously grand achievements like that.
Yes, and speaking of some other black shit that's unfortunately going on, George Zimmerman.
My nigga.
My nigga, George Zimmerman, a.k.a. the killer of the black man, is scheduled to possibly fight DMX label Crack Man. So this is the killer of the black man versus Crack Man in a celebrity boxing match, which is absolutely horrible. I know Skips has some passionate feelings about the whole George Zimmerman thing. I could see the look in your eye.
Tyler, before we get into that, I wanted to mention really quickly that when it came to I just forgot. Oops. Let me back away. Take it back. Take it back. Totally forgot.
What? No, go ahead.
I lost my train of thought. Blame it on marijuana.
Blame it on. Popo had a thought, and then he got high.
Don't rub it in. Zimmerman.
But I know you had some strong opinions, Skips, about the whole Zimmerman thing.
Situation is. It actually gets me kind of emotional because it's the fact that this guy is making a name for himself after he killed an unarmed teenager. I don't care what race or any of that stuff was going on. The fact that he said he couldn't fight this little kid, and all of a sudden now you're going to do a boxing match with some grown-ass man. How does that happen in a few months? You know what I'm saying? Like, he couldn't fight this little kid.
That was his story of why his self-defense.
And now you're going to go fight a grown-ass man?
Because you could fight all of a sudden now. But right. Back when you got into that fight with that 17-year-old kid, you couldn't fight that night. And you need to pull your gun out and shoot him. And the one thing that this whole celebrity boxing says a lot about America is that you can murder somebody and be considered a celebrity. Like going over
that off Paris Hilton shows her snatch. Fucking Kim Kardashian takes that in the booty by some R&B singer.
Yeah, but that's different too. You're on a different level.
Yeah.
That's still like, okay, she did a porno basically. There's a lot of pornos her a celebrity.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. You killed a harmless little boy.
A little black boy.
He could be a white boy for all I care. Yeah. I don't care.
And that's the interesting debate about this, because going back to the whole Trayvon thing, me, I'm viewing it, being an African American, I view it from the view of another black teenager getting murdered and no one giving a fuck. Mm-hmm. And this can go to the kid that was in Texas that got handcuffed by the cops, and they handcuffed him and he was in the back of the squad mm-hmm. car, and then somehow he shot himself in the head when he was handcuffed behind he was handcuffed in the back seat, and somehow he found a gun that the cops didn't know was in the back seat, and they didn't even investigate it.
No.
Then you have the Renisha McBride chick who got in a car accident and went and knocked on the dude's door, and as she was walking away, he shot her in the back of the head and killed her, and they didn't want to arrest him. This goes to the college football player who got into the car accident, was knocking on the woman's door, and then he got shot and killed, and it was like, oh, well, he scared the woman because how he was knocking on the door. This goes to the kid that was in Walmart who his music was too loud, and the guy shot and killed him, and they didn't want to arrest him. Another one just happened either yesterday or the day before, where it was another black kid who was at a gas station playing his music too loud and got shot and got killed. This happens a lot. And from a black side of it, it's like, that's the reason why black people get so riled up, because we keep getting shot and getting killed. And it's like, well, in Chicago, you guys shoot and kill each other, so it should be okay for other people to shoot and kill each other. But it's interesting with Skips, you're looking at it not even from a racial point of view. You're looking at it from the point of a mother and seeing an unarmed kid get shot and get killed.
And making it justified that it was okay. And then I told Arizona Verse, I said, when this happened, I said, he's not going away. George Zimmerman was not going to go disappear or just be a regular person again.
No, he's a celebrity.
I knew that he was going to be in the news again. I didn't think it was going to be like this stuff. I thought he was going to be in the news again. And then it was him getting arrested. Like
He kept getting pulled over for speeding.
He got in trouble for beating up his father-in-law.
His girlfriend.
Yeah, it's just wilding out.
Yeah.
But don't you guys feel, the label of a celebrity, it's really just another word for an idol. We make idols out of this. Because honestly, when we start talking about this, the racist in me who just wants to be funny, does idolize this motherfucker because of how much power he has, because he's getting away with it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So in that same essence, we're just making idols. Like, I know everybody wants to talk about that, but that's all it is.
Yeah.
And is he not going to get his spanking though? Because come on, tell me the truth. If he's going to go against Crackhead, fucking DMX, Harf Harf, or Game, who's another considered talent. I guess he volunteered, but you know, I'm over here talking shit.
Yeah.
Regardless, this man's going to get his ass beat, is he not?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Genuinely believe
is he get training, jiu-jitsu training, they're going to train with MMA?
I genuinely believe if he fights DMX, DMX is going to get his ass kicked.
He's going to win it. He's going to throw it so he can get some money.
No, DMX is going to get his ass whooped because he's a 43-year-old crackhead. Game was the first one that came out and was like, I'll fight him.
Yeah.
The Game is like 6'4", 200 and some pounds. Zimmerman, I don't want to fight him. Let me fight this 165-pound, 40-year-old fucking crackhead, this older guy.
Well, he actually wanted Kanye West at first.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's interesting about this. One is that he decided I'm gonna do celebrity boxing, and he keeps calling out black people. Yeah. He wants to fight someone black.
He wants it to be a big deal
because he wants to capitalize off of the race of it.
And
the other thing,
what day does it fall on?
The other thing that was interesting, the day it got announced was on Trayvon Martin's birthday. When they announced that George Zimmerman was going to fight, they announced it on what would have been Trayvon Martin's 19th birthday.
They've done that on purpose. In line, we got ourselves a battle of the fittest. George Zimmerman, known racist killer, is going up against former crackhead Arizona resident fucking DMX. Yes.
And it's just. I call people out for people in the world are so ignorant if they don't think that this was purposely announced on Trayvon's birthday. They could announce that any day. They waited till Trayvon's Martin's birthday. And by the way, we're going to have Zimmerman fight a black person.
And on top of it, the guy that's promoting it, I can't think of his name. I don't even know.
He's a piece of shit. Fuck him.
Are we done?
Oh, no. We back in the building. Skips. Okay. Skips, go ahead and you got to click back on it.
My camera's on. What do I do?
No, we had some technical difficulties. I'm going to pass it over to Popo. I'm going to let you because you're not in here. I'm going to fix it. Okay. Popo, go ahead and continue what you were saying about Zimmerman.
I don't know what else. Yeah,
hold the show while I do some.
I don't mind that. Lord knows I wanted my shine. I don't know if I told you this when I did my little mini episodes.
Yeah.
You know when he was sick from his throat thing and he had to work the next day.
He was very sick.
It was
sick.
A big deal because it's all new place and I get it. But I did a show with my beaner buddy, like I said, and we truly like. As soon as I was introduced to my boy, we've been talking about trying to do this for a good little minute.
Yeah.
He was all excited, like, hey, we're finally doing this. You know, he's barely kind of going into it. And here I come and I, Kanye West, Taylor Swift him and be like, all right, but no. Let me bring the attention back on to me, please. Because, you know, I've been sitting under Arizona versus shadow so long, his black, big black shadow is.
My big black Wayne shadow.
I feel your pain.
Oh, you feel the pain.
Yo.
Whatever, nasty.
No. Oh, are we going to get personal? Oh. Are we going to measuring sticks now? Speaking of measuring sticks,
okay,
my buddy.
Okay, let's go.
Tell me. Oh, she wants to see it. I know it. She gave me the look. My buddy, and God bless him for this idea, and I'm so in love with him and his girlfriend, like in their story.
Yeah.
Because she lives out of state, you know what I'm saying? He lives down here, and, you know, just health things, financial things, or all these things that are kind of pulling them apart.
Mm-hmm.
But which naturally does.
Right.
And if, you know, once he kind of gets on his thing and can hold it down, he's going to bring her down here. But so right now they're living the distant things. What do they call it?
Long distance
relationships.
Yep.
So for Valentine's Day, he actually sending her, and I doubt she'd be listening, but he's sending her something, and it's a mirror of him, so to speak. I won't give too many details, but it's a mirror of things.
Okay.
And kind of so that he can send his love when.
Well, you know, you can do that. You can make an out like a mold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing. Which is that, I don't know. To me, that's like that's the most romantic thing I think anyone can ever do. Because one of the most cherished things that I hear from exes and those who still continue to visit me regularly, God bless them, is with like, because they hate me. They truly hate me. Which what sucks. Because, you know, I love and I love to be in love and I love to be all emotional, but they just hate me as a person. But they say, God, if I can just take your dick. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And, if I can just take that dick with me.
And it's not even, because obviously the big dick is a dime a dozen. So, but to be told that is such a fucking beautiful thing. Like, God.
I definitely tell Arizona verse the same thing. So,
that would be with Valentine's Day coming up. That would be an awesome Valentine's Day gift. Yeah, get a mold of your penis and give it to. I got this for you. It's you, girl. It is all you.
You will get your thing cut off.
Aw.
I want the last known copy.
So,
awkward.
Oh, Damien Feldman is the name of the guy. Feldman. Or Damien Feldman. Blah, 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 blah. So,
are we doing corrections?
Yeah, we got a fact checker on it.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Travi did tell me that the guy who was touching little boys at the college was Pulaski.
Oh, Pulaski. Shit,
fuck it up again. No, I forget.
Polanski.
There you go.
So there we go. All right.
Shouts out to our tech department out there in Philly, who's slow as hell, probably jerking off, not even minding. What are you doing, boy?
But real quick.
Oh, he also said really quick too to go with the story. He just said his MMA fighter or trainer, testified that George was such a pussy he had to shoot him. Which Jason Plummer is the same
trainer.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the guy. This is Damon. He's the working together with celebrity boxing promoter and trainer. Damon Feldman is the guy that's promoting it, and I guess training him for this fight.
I'm sorry to be so excited, but I'm glad that he doesn't have some training though, because I want him to go up against the game.
Yes.
Because that's a heinous of a motherfucker. Let's see how tough he really is.
Yes.
But if we're gonna do that, we're gonna put him in this fucking predicament, then I wanna see him trained and I wanna see a fucking good gladiator fight.
See, I see it from a different point of view, honestly. I don't want the fight to happen because it coming again, it's like a slap in the face to Trayvon Martin's family.
If him giving him an ass beating,
that they're making a profit off of it.
The fact that
at the end of the day, the only reason why this fight is happening is because some kid got killed. And so the result of this kid getting killed, George Zimmerman is famous. Yeah. George Zimmerman is all over the news. This other promoter is about to get paid off of this fight. And all of this is a direct result of Trayvon getting murdered.
I will say,
if the family gets proceeds, then? Do they get any proceeds?
No, they're donating it to charity. It's not going to the family. So they still don't give a fuck about Trayvon's family. So it's just, it's one of those things where I'm stuck in the middle because I kind of want to see it if he gets his ass kicked, but I also don't want to promote it because then it's the whole going back to America. We make stupid people famous. And even the fact that we're talking about this right now, we're making George Zimmerman famous. We're making a stupid person more famous than he needs to be.
Well, I got to give a shout out to Maurice, who's listening and told me that TMZ said that the fight is canceled. So I went on TMZ right now and it says, George Zimmerman fight canceled. Promoter gets cold feet.
Okay.
George Zimmerman will not be going toe-to-toe with DMX in a celebrity boxing event, and the promoter says it's because his conscience finally kicked in. The promoter for the event took to Twitter Saturday afternoon to officially cancel the event and said he finally realized there's more to life than money, the promoter adds. Just looked at my son and daughter today. Wow, I'm so lucky. These people must be in so much pain. All you people are right. Unclear exactly what he meant by those people, but probably a poor choice of words.
Those niggers.
I guess it's canceled for now.
So what do we have to do then? Because if this is not exactly what it's supposed to be, you get a celebrity, who do we get then? Who's relevant? Because obviously who deserves an ass beating? Like, I don't know why, or how do they do it?
He needs to get an ass beating off of camera, off of media sites,
get his ass whooped in a sense of where there's no profit involved in it. But actually, this is my
opinion. That sounds like a fucking torture. Is what it sounds like.
No, and that's why I was actually about to say. I personally don't wish any harm on him. I don't wish any harm on him. It's fucked up what happened. The whole thing, and like I said, and I'm going back to it. Whatever happened that night, I call it a perfect storm. You have a perfect storm situation of George Zimmerman was a man who saw Trayvon and saw a black man and thought that he was up to no good. Trayvon, on the other side, was stereotyped the same thing. He was walking and saw what looked like an older white man that he didn't trust. And it was a perfect storm of us as people of race stereotyping another race.
No,
unfortunate part about it is that it ended with that kid getting killed. It ended with the cops showing up at the scene of the crime and it's suspecting the black kid had did something and they didn't drug test George that night. There's a perfect storm of social media people had to come through and yell at the top of their lungs like, why is it this guy getting arrested? Then it took 44 days to for the guy to get arrested. That's why I wasn't even upset when George Zimmerman got let go. They arrested him 44 days after it happened. So much fucking shit has happened within those days that fucked up any crime that happens. If you wait 44 days to arrest somebody, you're not going to have enough evidence to...
Was he just some random black dead body then?
That's what it was. It was, oh, this kid got killed. They drug test him. Oh, he had weed in his system. And so this kid must have been up to no good. So,
Put some crack on him. It'll be all right.
Yeah, let's dust some crack on him. You know, he's up to no good. Let's keep it moving or whatnot. And so that's why I wasn't even upset when George Zimmerman got let off, because it was like any crime. If you accuse me of selling drugs and then wait 44 days to arrest me, I can get rid of all the evidence and you gave me 44 days to come up with a cover-up story.
Yes.
So I wasn't even mad. The judicial system did the best they could and they couldn't get away with it. But then my problem is then George Zimmerman showed how much of a piece of shit afterwards that, oh, I'm a celebrity now. I'm going to take advantage of this shit. And so it's just, it's
well, I mean, but is his name not already fucking shit on?
No, yes, he still has supporters, though.
Yeah.
He still has supporters.
Yeah, and that was the other thing that I said leading up to the trial, which was all fucked up, is that leading up to the trial, he made six figures worth of money of racist-ass people donating money to make sure he got off. And then I was like, you have all these rappers, these basketball players who are wearing the hoodies and all that. They didn't donate to fucking Trayvon's family to make sure they got a top-notch lawyer. So once again, we did it to ourselves. And so it was just, it was a fucked up situation. It's fucked up that the man is considered a celebrity in America, but that just shows what America is about, what we consider celebrities. Oh, he's a celebrity now. And it's just, whatever.
It's going to be something else again.
And then eventually what's going to eventually happen is he's going to keep wilding out like this. Eventually he either is going to go crazy, kill himself, or somebody is going to commit a crime and kill him or something. It's going to come back to black people harassing him so much that poor George Zimmerman wouldn't leave him alone. And yeah, that's the reason why it happened.
And see, and this is what gives them a legitimate excuse. And once again, I know it's bad because obviously it's all for profit, but to fucking capitalize off of his shit, because hey, I killed a little nigga baby boy. I'm in some trouble. I'm not going to be liked. Yeah, I have supporters, but I also can't be in the hood now. I think I had my hood card revoked from now on. You know, so naturally, that's his compensation. But see, then again, it goes into... And I'm not a fucking advocate. I don't know why I feel myself like this. I feel God talking to you. I'm just like, Sarah Joe, I'm just doing what I'm into.
No, and I appreciate that because this is the conversation. You got to have multiple viewpoints of it. I'm not 100% right.
You're myself, not. Yeah. But I'm completely true, though. I'm right. Yes, it's sad.
I'm right,
but I don't agree with myself.
Yes. And I agree with that, too. And I guess being a white female, I've never gotten to the point where I felt like I wanted to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
I've always talked about, like, my dad brought it up too recently about, oh, you guys need to have guns and stuff. And I was like, yeah, but I don't really want it because I don't really want to have that responsibility, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you always talked about having one. I'm like, I know, but the more that the whole gun issue comes up and shooting people and people getting killed over stupid stuff, I mean, what if it backfires and you just turn around or...
Yes, and I'm a fond believer of... You bring stuff on to you.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of situations. Even I see, I took my mom to the grocery store the other day, and this guy, more than likely a registered gun owner, had his gun, you know, on his side. And I'm just looking at it. You're bringing attention to yourself that you carry a gun. Yeah. Somebody's going
to
test
you. You're supposed to have it, though. Like, if you don't have a concealed permit, like, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, and I think that's part of it. It's like showing your dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's exactly all it is. Just showing your dick. Hey, look what I got.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. It goes back to people who have those the Wild Wild West. But that goes back to people who have those expensive ass cars. You're just calling attention to yourself. Yes. You're calling someone to do something.
You can't expect yourself not to get jacked if you know you bump in like a motherfucker in this ghetto ass neighborhood.
Yes. And so that's my opinion when it comes to like people with guns and all that. it's like I think every American has the right to have a gun. If you feel the need to be protected and you want a gun, that is your right. Have a fucking gun. But I also do believe that there's some type of universal balance to it where you do call on certain attention to you when you get yourself in those situations. It's a certain attention you bring.
Someone's going to be like, okay, you have a gun. Let's see how you can use it.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to test your ass now. And actually, I'm about to pop open these gummy bears.
Oh, please do.
An interesting thing, too. My parents went to San Diego recently because my second cousin was graduating from the Marines. And my dad has a concealed weapons license or whatever for Arizona.
Which doesn't cost too much. It's not hard to get. You should be able to get
it. Right. So you can have your gun and can you have it loaded or not loaded?
It's supposed to be not loaded.
Not loaded, but you can conceal it.
Depending on where it's at. But I think in California you can have a gun, but it does not need to be loaded.
No, this was going to get into it. I don't know what the laws were here exactly as far as concealed. But I know in California they told him he almost got in trouble because he went there and he had the gun, but they said you cannot have it loaded and you have to have the chamber somewhere else. So you have to have
You keep it at the house, you mean? Or
No. You can have it. You can have it in the car, but they can't be in reach of each other. So like the chamber has to be like in the glove compartment. And the gun has to be like in the back seat.
How am I supposed to shoot a motherfucker with having this?
That's what. Yeah. So then you have silly laws like that too. So it's like, okay, well if you really needed to use it, again, why do you even have it if you can't use it?
Yes.
But then you don't want to have it really. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing for me. I don't know.
Yeah. No.
Because it can always come back on you too, and you can get in trouble for using it the wrong way or something like that too.
You know, I feel you. So it complicates things.
It does. I think it does. That's why I'm like steering, and especially with my boys and stuff like that too. I would never want to have a situation where I would feel like I would need to, but I haven't yet. So
this is a local brand that we're showing off. Yeah. But no, I when it comes to that though, like, because I know I feel it's a responsibility.
Yes.
Because now if I'm in a situation, let's say the Ed Helms thing, Colorado, I'm fucking watching Batman. I'm being the dork. I happen to be a motherfucker that has a lot strapped on him. Ladies, hello, did you hear me? But he said, I have a gun. So he starts shooting off. Do I stand up there and defend him and stop him who's trying to kill others? Or do I use this strictly for protection? Mm-hmm. You know, like that's a form of saving, isn't it? Because this guy has to go down if I want these shots to stop firing, right? Mm-hmm. It's a responsibility.
That's where it gets tricky, yeah. It just gets kind of tricky. Again, yeah.
All right, let's say this
happens. Up?
The new Batman movie.
Yes.
I'm going. I have my thing on me. Some motherfucker tries to pop off what happened in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
Start shooting. I have my gun. I take him down. Don't kill him. But literally blast his fucking hand off that was shooting shit.
Yeah.
This motherfucker's down. Mm-hmm. There's no more. He survives. He lives. Now he's fucking living without a goddamn limb. Should I have killed the guy? I stopped what theoretically could have been a massacre inside this one theater. Now only counting the people who are running out from the other rooms. I just stopped a massacre from happening.
Yeah.
But the question though, because I remember, I think it was the Young Turks who brought this up, because after that Aurora, Colorado thing happened, there was a huge debate about people being allowed to have weapons like in theaters and things like that. And people were using that exact same scenario. Well, if people in the theaters could have had guns, then they could have shot back and they could have, you know, stopped the guy from happening. Or you could have had all those people with guns and you could have got a Wild West shootout and everybody shooting and everybody could have got killed. It's one of those, and I use this all the time, and not necessarily as a cop-out, but I think a lot of people look at certain things as black or white in a sense of it's either this or it's that. And I think there's so many things, there's so many shades of gray. There's so, like, it's so many, and actually there's something else that we're going to get to later on the show that I think it's a black and white debate, which actually has many shades of gray. But I think that's a lot of, oh yeah, we got several more articles. But no, yeah, I know we got sidetracked. I think we all got riled up on the George Zimmerman thing.
You know that was going to happen. We should say that.
That should have been the end thing. But
I despise that dude.
But and we won't even get back into him because we could talk for an hour about Zimmerman.
I wanted to make a joke when you're talking about, and I want you to finish the story about what the ideal is from these different scenarios. Because honestly, what would be a perfect massacre, perfect killing, is that you do this at a Latino black known theater place, and if everyone has a gun on them, they all get into it. It's all of a sudden kind of like an outbreak in Resident Evil, and all these people are infected. And we gotta just shut the whole damn thing down and get all of them. Is that possible? Is that too deep?
It's possible. It's a goddamn conspiracy. That's what it is.
That's all it is.
Something that isn't a conspiracy, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shouts out to Utah, who I normally don't give shouts out to Utah because It's a very Mormon.
It is.
Country.
I like polygamy.
And yes, I was gonna say
that. I'll rock with them on that. I'm just,
if I only had the budget.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's gonna be expensive,
the good
right?
Lord, the good Lord keeps me humble. So what about Utah? What's going on in Utah? What the fuck is going on?
But Utah is on track to end homelessness by 2015 with one simple idea. And their one simple idea is that, let me find the answer. Here we go.
Put these fuckers to work.
No, this is very logical in my opinion. A lot of people may disagree. The state is going to start giving away apartments with no strings attached. In 2005, Utah calculated the annual cost of ER visits and jail stays for the average homeless person being $16,670 a year, while the cost of providing an apartment and social worker would be $11,000 a year. So each participant works with a caseworker to become self-sufficient, but if they fail, they still get to keep their apartment. I think this is one of the brightest things I've ever heard of, because if you, once again, you break down the math of it, like that you will save $5,000, that you will save your state's budget $5,000 a year. If you sit per person, $5,000 a year per person, if instead of letting these people be homeless and keep arresting them and keep having them go to the ER without medical care and all that, if you simply just give them a place to stay, it will cost less money. And if you give them a social worker, you may be able to get these people back on their feet. Because the whole thing is, there are certain people who are homeless because they're alcoholics, because they're drug addicts and all that. There's also people who simply fell on hard times and no one was there to help them out. And so I think that this is a smart idea to fucking give these people a second chance at life, and it may work. There was a meme I remember that went around after that whole Detroit foreclosure, and once again, didn't fact check, didn't look into it. But the meme shows that there is supposedly more empty homes in America than there are homeless people. So literally, America, who is the quote-unquote richest country in the world, the most powerful country in the world, we also have the most homeless people, but we have more empty homes than homeless people. If you gave every one of those homeless people just a home, they wouldn't be homeless anymore. And as of these stats break down, we would actually save money. But we're a capitalistic country. There's no money in saving people. Yep. Once again, goes to prescription pills. Yep. We deal with symptoms. We don't deal with curing anything, because if you cure somebody of something, you lose that income. I want that income. So instead of saving it,
how pissed off are doctors going to be? Because obviously we know that fucking going to the ER is a fucking rape, and Lord knows that I hate that shit, because I worked in healthcare and I know the business and I know how they just milk shit. We can't help. We milk shit. Shit, we're trying to make the most that we can out of what we can. We're trying to make a dollar out of a dime and a nickel or some shit, however that saying goes. How are they gonna take this hit? So then all of a sudden it's gonna be more. I think if that does happen, it's gonna, I mean, I need to think so deep into it, but it could make a spiral to where, well, we need to have income coming from elsewhere. And where else would they make the most money? Prescriptions, who they're following, the brands that they're loyal to. And
that's the reason why marijuana is illegal, because pharmaceutical companies make so much money off of medical marijuana by giving it to do studies and quote-unquote and different things like that. And also because marijuana and the oils from it, the various different things of it, have been proven time and time again to cure things, not as a symptom, not to, you know, L a symptom, but to cure things. And pharmaceutical companies don't want marijuana to be legal, because they're going to lose billions of dollars by having this natural product, because how they're trying to do it is, if it's legal, let people grow it too. And if you're letting people grow it, you're losing money off of it. Yeah. And that's all, and that's the reason why America is the greatest country and the most fucked up country, because it's the land of opportunity. If you get in the right situation, you could literally become rich out here in America. But we also live in a very capitalistic country where it's all about a profit. We don't give two fuck. I could not imagine working, being the head of a bank and being like, these 100,000 people can't make their mortgage, I'm going to make them homeless. I couldn't imagine doing something like that.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to money.
It really does.
That's why I wish it was cartel.
Wasn't it something that we had, wasn't that something we talked about before too, or read or something like that? It was like how much a pill costs, and then what they charge you, or how much it costs to stay in the hospital, and then how much it costs them compared to how much they charge you.
Yes.
Was like, $1 compared to $800. It was like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, a pizza, computer parts, with all the right ingredients, it makes it pretty damn cheap. And, you know, we're shipping it massively.
And that's the whole thing is...
We're all snacking.
I know, we're eating gummy bears.
I stopped. That's rude.
Yeah, I'm going to eat on air. I don't give a fuck. But no, that's the whole thing that's... just interested with the whole pharmaceutical thing because I think doctors, I think they're worth every dollar that, you know, they make, you know, especially considering that you got to go to college for so long and you got student loan, bills up into the 100,000, six figures and all that. So they deserve the money they make.
And that's all it is. But we all need to eat and we all want more in Congress. They can really fucking put down the you know, fix the deficit and get shit down condensed like if they wanted to take a smaller cut, but they can't. Because they don't know.
The greatest thing going back to the whole welfare debate is when there was that story about, I forgot the dude name, I think it was a mayor of New Jersey or something like that, but he lived welfare living for a month and he said that he was extremely humbled by it. And my remark was, I wonder how he would have felt growing up on welfare. You would have a completely different, that 1 month, it humbled you so much. But imagine growing up on that.
I mean, but it's a culture shock. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's a fucking, it really is a drop to the ass.
Well, and what Inside Edition did that special with that chick, the reporter, whatever, the journalist, I guess.
She was supposed to live a day off of food stamps.
She had $1.50.
Oh, yeah, she was supposed to live a day off of $1.50.
A whole day off of $1.50.
Tacos,
Jack in the Box. Oh, no. Guess what she did? Oh, they had company lunches and they had this going on, they had this going on, so she didn't have to use her money.
She was like, oh, it was so tough and all that, but then she went to her friends and ate and she had lunch but it was like you still didn't learn anything. Like,
that was tough. Then
and then there you go, people suckering the system. And I don't know if you knew this, one of the biggest things that's gonna happen right now, a lot of panhandlers out there, obviously the people that you see in the streets, some of them aren't homeless.
Yes
I've heard a lot.
And now, and I see it too, and I see motherfuckers take shifts, and I see people like revive others. I'm sure there has to be a business that distributes these fucking signs and tells you don't have time. Look like this, handle yourself like that. We see motherfuckers that work for other companies telling you where the smoke shop at, where the pharmacy at, where the whatever business, where's Little Caesars at. You have motherfuckers out there promoting.
It's fucking like, Chris Rock had the greatest joke about that. He said, if a homeless person has a funny sign, he hasn't been homeless long enough.
That's real as hell right there.
Yeah.
So, speaking of somebody else who may be homeless soon, UK's... What's up?
Oh, no.
Actually, I cut a couple articles, so I'm going to jump in a second.
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth is down to her last $1.6 million in reserves after royal overspending. I find this absolutely hilarious. Me personally, I have a strong opinion about the UK and them in general.
The bloodline.
And
the royal?
There's... a lot of inbreeding within the royal family. They, much like the Jews, are very big about their bloodline. And what they do is they keep track, if you will, of the family relations. And as soon as the blood is out to about the 14th cousin level, they start marrying their cousins to bring the bloodline back in, and then they watch it for a while to make sure they don't start getting Down syndrome, and then they shift it out. So it's basically a family that has been fucking itself for thousands of years now, keeping the bloodline together. And I find it interesting that Queen Elizabeth is about to go broke. And to some people, they hear $1.6 million. They're like, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
No, this bitch was worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and for them to be down that low, I also call conspiracy. I think they're bankrupting the world on purpose to introduce the one world government, because as long as all the different financial dollars around the world, once everything collapsed, the way to fix it is to introduce a new currency, which is available all across the world, and you'll have one currency. And then if you got one currency, you need one government to watch that one currency all across the world. And then also there's the whole thing of eventually we're getting close to one religion, and eventually you're going to get to a situation where right now, if I commit a crime, I could run to Mexico or South America and I could get away.
Right.
But once there's a one world government, if you get in trouble, there's nowhere to go.
Right.
they can find you anywhere in the world. Where as much as people don't like hearing conspiracy theories, we're getting very close to it. And I genuinely believe that all this shit with all these people going bankrupt, this is happening on purpose.
Listen, one of the biggest things too, and I can't even fucking hear myself, but
I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
One of the biggest heartbreaks, even though they're really known as bad guys, Hussein and Gaddafi.
Yes.
They were going to change the fucking currency, yo. So if we would have went euros with it, do you think it still ultimately leads to the $1, because we would have tried to bring it to gold. Mm-hmm. That's where it was going to be. Euros is a faggy little transition.
Yeah.
We're going to go straight gold for currency.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and the thing about the American dollar or the American money in general, it is a legal note. It has no value. It has value because we use it. But the dollar back in the day, you could trade your money in for its weight in gold, if you will.
Exactly.
Now it's just a note. It's a piece of paper. And the reason why it has value is because we place value on it by spending and by bartering with it or whatnot. If everybody just stopped spending money, the economy would collapse. Money has no fucking value. It's pieces of paper. We're the ones putting value in it. You can't trade it for anything. No, what is valuable is minerals. What is valuable is gold and diamonds and all that, because it takes millions of fucking years to make that shit in the fucking earth. None of his money has fucking value. And that's the reason why they're crashing, and they're going to introduce a one world currency, and we're right around the corner from that. That's just me getting a little conspiratorial.
No, can I say something? Yo? No.
See,
the white man trying to say that too, and I want to listen. I need to listen. I'm almost losing my train of thought in it too, but you don't know. Bring it back. You ready? Put your hands up. Bring it back to me. I was going to say, if it were to come down to there, because we really truly don't need currency, but because we want to have it, because we want to see what so-and-so is doing, because we want to see this and have that and do this, we need this extra bit of thing. Because honestly, all we really need in life is love and food for fuel, right? But if we can have our own little gardens and have our own little family, then that only makes that, the food. If I have my own little farm, my own little family, I don't need nothing else because, hey, everything's here. My love is here. My love is right here. You know, everything is a means of communicating and living with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But kind of back in the day, get all biblical, we lived in nations. We lived in herds. We all participated and did a part of it. So all we really need is love and fuel and, food, things to keep us going.
Right.
We don't need all this other shit.
And that's actually a good segue for the next topic. But before I get to that real quick, shouts out to Travelord. It was Cory Booker. That was the name of the former mayor of Newark who lived for off of food stamps for a month.
Okay.
That was his name. But that was a good segue with what you just said, because the next thing I want to talk about real quick before we get out of here is there was a big debate recently, guys. Big debate that shook the world up. Had half a million views live on YouTube. And that debate was the creation versus evolution debate. We got to talk about this before we get
didn't
out
learn
of
nothing
here.
New. There was nothing new learned in this damn debate.
Nothing new at all. And let me just read this article real quick. It says, days after a wide-ranging debate on creationism and evolution between Bill Nye and Ken Ham, the event is driving an online conversation. Themes of belief in literalism, logic, and faith, and for some relevance, are being aired and disputed, and some wonder what the debate accomplished. The video of more than 2-hour debate in which Nye and Ham presented their views on how the Earth and its surroundings were created has been viewed more than 830,000 times on YouTube, and at one point the live event drew more than 5,000 viewers. Now, on the live blog page, there was a couple different people who chimed in with some stuff that I thought was real productive. It was productive conversations, if you will. And somebody by the name of Richard Arthur came away with the top rated comment, and he said, as a Christian, I will say this. My faith does not require me to believe in the age of the earth as outlined in the Bible. Christ commanded me to love, and that is where all Christians need to focus. Discussing how many fairies can dance on the head of a pin is a distraction. And the greatest response for that was from a guy who was an atheist, and he says, and this atheist respects you for that. Now, the thing that I say...
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Now, the one thing I saw on here that I thought was real interesting, somebody, There was a reader named Slick Top Tetson, and I really love
Slickback.
The pimp name Slickback. No, it's the pimp name Namath. You ain't seen my new Twitter handle. I'm a pimp name Namath, yo.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's really. You look at Arizona Verse. I'm now a pimp name Namath. I got the pimp suit on. You dig? But the greatest comment that I really
went after him too.
What?
PETA went after him.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Tell PETA my mink is dragging on the floor, but whatever. We ain't gonna get on that.
It keeps everything alive. It's an economy. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But no, the greatest comment was this guy said, as a Christian, it always amazes me how much other people of faith struggle with this. The Bible is written in parables. Parables. How about this? Evolution exists. It's undeniable, plain and simple. How can your faith lead you to believe that God created everything in the universe, but yet you can't believe that perhaps evolution was how he did it? And that is what I take away from all of this. We could argue back and forth all day. And the thing that I always find interesting whenever these arguments happen between religion versus logic, and when both sides get so like just angry and just so wholeheartedly just a lot of it comes down to people not exactly knowing.
Right.
I don't care if it's a religious side of it. I don't care if it's a scientific side of it. At the end of the day, we're all arguing over other stuff that people are telling us. At the end of the day, you have I've gotten into debates with people about like, oh, well, you know, it's so silly that hardcore Christians believe the earth is 6,000 years old. It's impossible. How are rocks here?
That shit just looks stupid.
I always say, how do you know how rocks? I can't fucking pick up a rock and tell you how old it is. I have a philosophical question that I like to ask people, and I'm going to pass this over to Popo. I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to ask you a question. It's a very simple question. Popo, what year is it?
The year that it is 2014, is it not?
How do you know?
Because I was told. I've been living in apparently equal this many fucking days.
Now I'm gonna pass the question over to Skips.
I'm gonna say the same thing.
No, I got a different question.
Okay.
My question for you is there life on Mars? Are there cities and stuff like on Earth on Mars right now?
Do you want me to go off what we've been told?
No, go off of whatever your answer is. Is there life in cities like it is on Earth?
Okay. I don't know.
All right, normally people would say that the answer is no. The question I ask is, have you pointed a telescope at Mars and looked? No. We're all arguing over stuff that other people are telling us.
Right.
And that's the reason why I've gotten into debates with people about, I say that I do believe in God, but I don't believe in religion. And I have an opinion about it. And actually that segues into the last thing or whatnot. But my thing is, my belief in God doesn't have anything to do with what anybody told me. It's because of my life experiences. Like the life I've lived and the things that are happening and the synchronicity and the different things that happen, I, without a shadow of a doubt, believe that there's some type of higher power that has some type of involvement with my life. There's some type of involvement with certain things, the way certain things line up, the way you and me met together at work over music, and then we lost touch with each other, and then we ran into each other again when I switched to another department that we would just so happen run into each other, and now we have this fantastic podcast that we're doing.
I would think so, yes.
And even the same thing passing over to Skips. Me and Skips met on MySpace in like fucking 2006, and we kept in contact here and there, not so really.
Asshole.
Yeah, I am an asshole.
She had to play the whole keep a nigga baby thing, you know? but it turned out to be the most beautiful thing.
But yeah, and the thing is, after I moved to California, when I came back, I was dating this one chick, and then me and that chick ended up breaking up, and I was very, not bitter, but I was very vocal about my opinion, and I was subliminally saying stuff on Facebook like cry me a river, then build a bridge and get over it, and I was saying different things like that. And Skips messaged me and was like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And then we started.
Ooh, such a concerned young lady.
Yeah, she was like, you don't normally talk like this on Facebook. What's going on or whatnot?
And I'm then like, I hope you broke up with that bitch.
Exactly. She wanted.
Oh,
she,
hey, so were you, like, had you guys met yet? Or was it just
No, we hadn't met yet. No, we had just talked together on social media for like years, but we had never met.
They made a little reach out,
and then we end up hanging out, and then one thing led to another, and we have a Kai guy. Yeah, you can see the picture of the kids in the background.
Yep.
Real quick, I'm gonna move the camera up. People can see the wall, you know.
Is it wrong to say that my favorite one is a little one, and I still don't remember names?
Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Is it wrong to say that one's my favorite?
No, people have favorites.
I don't know why. I think maybe because he hasn't hurt me the way Kai has. Or he's totally like,
are you that sensitive?
I am hella sensitive, yeah.
Yo, you know what's hilarious though? Kai knows who you are, and so he'll see pictures or whatnot, and
he
then
gets excited when you come over.
Yeah, he'll see pictures and he'll see like the picture of the podcast thing, and I'm like, Kai, who's that? And he's like, Daddy and Richard, and it's funny. Kai likes you.
Okay.
But
I come back because I'll have to. Hurt you. No, I'm just kidding.
I sound like such a piss off. I like the little one.
There.
No, because you know what I think it is that attracts me the most when it comes to babies is that when they're learning stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So, Kai, no offense,
he's doing
kind
stuff.
Of a knucklehead sometimes. Yeah, he's doing stuff.
Yeah.
Kids are just, he's terrible too.
Yeah, exactly. He's figuring stuff out. Yeah.
So you can't blame when, you know, obviously what's the cuter stage of the thing.
And then when they're that young. The Zay age or whatnot, they don't know anything. They're not doing anything. But it's funny because as a parent, I think I've always said this, that we chemically change as a parent or whatnot. Because I used to hate kids. I used to despise kids.
Yeah.
I hated kids with a passion. I would hate when I went to a movie theater and I would hear a kid start crying. You could visibly see how frustrated I was. I despise kids. And after I had kids, now it's like, it's kind of different because it's the same thing. Like, before I didn't have kids.
She changed you. It worked. The white woman magic worked.
She worked her magic.
Can you believe it?
Oh, trust me, it worked.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, goodness.
But the whole thing.
No, it's not good to me.
The whole thing as a single person without kids, you see a bad kid, it's like fucking bad kid or whatnot. But then as a parent, you grow up and you kind of, I don't know, you just see things differently. So, I don't know. And we got completely off the whole creation versus evolution debate.
We just live in this world and she just keeps on repeating. That's all it is.
Yeah. I know it's the same stupid debate. And the one thing that I always hate is that, going to Hammond, I didn't even watch it. I've just been seeing snippets of it. The one thing that bothered me with him, and people get a kick off of this because you have a science person who is going to kick science knowledge, if you will. And you have the religious guy who's just going to keep saying it's because it's in the Bible. And like you said, we're just running in circles. Nothing is going to get solved or whatnot. And the thing is, like I said, this goes out to Christian people. And like the person said, if you believe in God and that God created everything, how do you not know that that's not evolution? I even say the whole Big Bang thing. When people are like, oh, it's so absurd that people believe in the Bible. It says that the world was created in 7 days. Maybe 7 days to God is 7 billion years to us.
Fucking A, yeah, there's no
time.
There's no way of knowing that.
Time changes. What a day, I know I'm gonna quote this wrong, but a day on Earth is 24 hours because that's how long it takes for the Earth to spin. If you're on a planet that moves at half the rate, their day is 48 hours. So even in our own solar system, as you move, time changes. So we don't know how time is in a completely other galaxy. Yeah. So that's always my debate. That's so stupid. 7 days. What was he was talking in his language? 7 fucking days or whatnot. We don't know what that means.
We use that really as the perfect number because it's the perfect thing. Like, you know, the perfect number thing. So
seven is a perfect number.
It's just that infinite of things. I think, and that's all it is. But we view those things obviously different as black and white because one we can actually count and one we just have sure gut-wrenching feelings for.
Yeah.
But we can't come to agree that, you know, it's the same thing, but you just saying in a real smart way. Solving facts.
And so it's one of those debates that I just genuinely believe that we could argue this till the end of the day. We don't know, and we never will fucking know. But the one thing that I didn't... Can we say both?
Both?
Both.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Same shit. I think it's the same
shit. Oh, and Trav is chiming in. I knew Trav was going to have a powerful opinion about this. He can't co-sign with the opinion. I do agree with this. He said, I can go buy a telescope to see for myself. He said, I can't test that Bible shit. He said, the whole someone is telling us stuff. And that's my whole thing. Like I said, I mean, my thing is just going off of, like I said, going using year as an example. That's one of the examples I always use, is that we say that it's 2014. I don't know. I don't know what was here before I was here. For all I know, this is the fucking Truman Show, and everybody is in on it except me. Like, I don't know. And so I'm more on
Can we also blame Christianity for the fact that we're counting this number? Because are we counting back from this, the death?
Yes and no. And actually, that's a perfect segue.
Is it?
Because the last thing...
my question, but that's a segue.
Wait, what?
I'm fucking with you. I'm not going, but keep going.
Real quick.
No, that's a good segue, because I wanted to ask this one question before we get out of here, me being the conspiracy theorist I am and me being the amateur theologian, if you will. I asked the question because Christians are always looking for the Antichrist. We're waiting for the Antichrist to come back. There's several people who think that... Obama is the Antichrist. There's been plenty of that. There's people who've said that George Bush was the Antichrist. Yep. There's people who have said that Hitler is the Antichrist. I asked the question, what if the Antichrist has already come and gone a long time ago? And what if who the Antichrist was Constantine? Constantine, for those who don't know, was the man who put together the Bible that we know of as today. Now, if we go back, and like I said, you know, I follow Gnostic Christianity. I'm a big fan of it and all that. I'm going to get a little...
I'm checking out a cigarette now. This shit's getting sexy.
It's getting so sexy. Just so sexy.
Dude, for real. I feel like...
We're not eye fucking or anything like that. I'm just saying, though, like,
what I thought.
Because it did, yeah. Augustine and there's two that we base Western belief on, isn't there?
Basically. But my take on it, this is what my take on it is that. And I'm going to try to put this together because I didn't get a chance to. We've been rushing all week, and then we started late, so I didn't get a chance to fully break this down. And Papo is fiending for the cigarette. I know y'all see him on there. This is what I want to put out there. And this is me, just the amateur theologian in me. I think I'm saying that word right, but whatever. Okay. So let's go back to Christ. Let's say without a shadow of a dyke.
I wouldn't dare live without there being a shadow of a dyke.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Let's just say if without a shadow of a doubt.
Christ.
And
we just broke the Van Dyke out of commentary.
Yeah, I know.
She's giggling. I hope I got a contact.
I was thinking about some dykes. That's what I was thinking about.
Hey, don't you speak of my...
I know, yeah. I'm touching on your territory.
It was the eye fucking, wasn't it?
I think it was the eye fucking. I got to thinking about dykes and shit.
Haircut.
Completely. I know. Popo's dyke haircut. Go ahead, show him the part. Yeah, so that kind of fucked me
up. You know,
up.
Really quickly, since we all getting off sidetrack, this is one dyke. And I don't like this bitch because she was very rude to me.
Yeah.
This bitch tried copying my style. I kid you not. She was being messy with her little nonsense, but as soon as I got my shit all harmed up and real nice and real slick, this bitch comes out trying to do some shit. I'm like, get off my dick, you damn dick. You upset me.
Don't worry about that. She's not gonna be on it.
Yeah. And now, like, I kind of want to. And this is gonna sound really fucked up. Have you ever wanted to hate fuck somebody? Like, I surely just want to hate fuck her just because. Take it, bitch, and I hate you. Go away. Be gone. Mm-hmm. No, but it really did sadden me, though. Well, no, actually, it shouldn't sadden me. Why are we talking about dykes? Begin me. I get sidetracked. I didn't like that.
Okay.
I'm usually a neighbor to them, and I treat them with love like queens, but not this bitch. I don't want to talk about it. What the fuck are we talking about?
Okay. First, go. Finish.
Oh, no. I was replying back to Trav. Finish talking about dykes. Give me 5 seconds.
Okay.
So dykes and stuff.
Well, I don't know how long I'm going to ramble on. I can usually do that. Actually, at work, speaking of working dykes, I didn't like one of my supervisors. She had I had to do something. Weight Watchers, me being fat, me wanting to be on the phones. I had to do this, had to do that. And I pretty much just wanted to kill 15 minutes because I had to do 15 minutes of some bullshit. And this woman... She had, I guess, her assistant. I don't know what the fuck she is fucking to. But she was being so, like, I don't say enchanted because I think that sounds too fucking cocky, but she was so, like, kind of lost in my fucking mouth vomit ramble. Just being dragged into it.
Yeah.
And my supervisor tells me, this motherfucker's just trying to kill time. You got 4 minutes left, Richard. I said my government name. Yeah, but he yelled at me. She's like, you got 4 more minutes. And like, I'm like, keep rambling. I'm like, no, I'm trying to prove a point. But yes, I guess I am rambling. How much time do I got? And
that's funny.
I just didn't do it. It sucks when you don't.
you know, perform at your best. Everything aligns perfectly. Not everything can be as perfect as, you know.
And the point of this story is Dykes. Yes. Dykes.
Actually, I'm a little disappointed you haven't been as creepy as you said you were going to be.
No, I'm still going to behave myself.
I was really expecting something crazy to go on.
But then, I was a little scared. I was a little scared.
I did try to, once again, try to play the instigating faggot. I tried to text you and be like, well, you know, please be prepared because
I was ready, and then you gave me nothing. I kind of feel let down a little bit.
I gave you nothing. You could have played back with me a little bit more. That was I got to do all the work, just like every woman. Except for this one, but just like everyone, I gotta do all the work. Yes, and that's why it takes
a real smile on violin. That's all.
No, but I'm just saying though, you just wanted me to do all the work. No wonder this man's so frustrated. You know what I'm saying? Don't relieve him, please. You are his snowflake goddess, and
my Nubian snow bunny.
You know what I'm saying? You must. The royal penis is clean, your highness's ass. You know what I'm saying? But then again, no, because you know she just gave me a look like, nah, this motherfucker, he be acting up.
I called it on camera.
She did her eye roll. I didn't think white women could roll their eyes like that. Good gosh.
No, you should see the eye roll of the century from that one video.
Oh, we're gonna play. I'll show you that in a minute. But before we get out of here, last thing before a lot of people's favorite segment of the show is, I hope you got a, you know. And think about it. Oh, no, you can figure it out as I'm going. Don't even worry about it. Now, this is my take on, is it possible that the Antichrist has already come? So, without a shadow of a doubt, let's say that someone of Jesus' stature was here preaching this new word of God and was saying throw out the old rules and so on and so forth, and that this is the way of the land and so on and so forth. Now, if you go back to, I believe it was 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ, you had, like, Christianity didn't immediately just pop up with this is the rule. What happened is that 40 years after Christ was supposedly, you know, crucified, it was gospels all over the place. There was the gospels that we're aware of in the New Testament, so on and so forth. And there was a bunch of gospels that a lot of people didn't know of, like the Gospel of Judas and the Gospel of Mary. And there's two more books of John. There's a whole bunch of different, so on and so forth.
Shit.
What's up?
There used to be more Psalms. There used to be a whole lot of everything.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of lot more stories. And then, so basically what happened was you had the Roman government who was killing Christians left and right because they viewed it as a cult. It was this new cult that was overthrowing their empire, and they were losing all this money. So then what Constantine said was, hey, instead of killing these Christians, let's make Christianity our state religion. Let's say tell all these Christians that they can live with us and be oppressed or persecuted, and that they can live, you know, freely out here in Rome. And so he was like, let's do this. But in order for us to do this, he was like, we need to take all these gospels, we need to put it together in one book and say that this is the definitive book. And just like we have the House of Congress and the Senate, when they come together, he got all his political people, they came together and they picked which books that they wanted in there and what books they didn't want in their Bible. Then when you go forward to King James, who is the most famous version of the Bible nowadays, King James himself, they wanted to convert it to a more easily read language. And so King James, the same thing, rewrote stuff. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation.
Yeah, my nigga Shakespeare, and he did a few things.
Oh, and yeah, you know, Shakespeare was in there. What is it? I think it's Psalms 41, the 44th word. And if you count the 41 words in, it says, like, shake. And then if you go to the back and count 41 words backwards, it says spear. His name is in there. It's something like that. Google it. Y'all figure it out. But, so this is my thing. Why Constantine might possibly be the Antichrist. Says in the book of Revelations that the devil is supposed to rule the world for 2,000 years before Christ comes back picks who is, you see where I'm going. Now, the devil, a lot of people like to view the devil as this harsh, mean beast and all that. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to trick people into thinking that he doesn't exist. So how do you trick people into believing that you don't exist? You take the word of God, you manipulate it, you flip it around. People follow it blindly for 2,000 years, not knowing they're not following God's word. They're following man's word. So what if Constantine was the Antichrist and we have been blindly following Christianity? Not that there is no God, but we've been following the wrong book because a evil man, if you will, the Antichrist, flipped the word on us, and we have not been following God's law for the past 2,000 years. What if that is the thing? Because we're almost pretty close to the 2,000 years of the Bible being out. It will by actually, because that was like the year 346, so technically we got about 200-300 more years, but I just think that's an interesting...
It's a coming.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, is that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to trick people into not thinking that he would exist, and then that's the reason why we have these debates when people are like, well, that's incorrect because it's in the Bible, and the Bible is incorrect. But it's because... The greatest thing, and think about this, the greatest trick, okay, the devil, you could take the word of God, you could flip it on itself, so then people who say, oh, this is complete bullshit, I'm an atheist now, so I don't agree with this, and then the people who are agreeing with it, they're still not following God's word, so now you're controlling people on both sides of it. I think the Antichrist has already come, and that's the reason why I believe in God, and I don't believe in religion, because I think man has fucked it up already, and we've been following it incorrectly. And that's the reason why I get so upset when I get into debates with people where it's like, I'm like, well, you know, I have my issues with the Bible. Well, if you have issues with the Bible, then you all obviously can't believe in God. No, I my opinion of it, do this in signal flow or whatnot. I'm speaking into this microphone, which is going into this sound card, which is going into this computer. You take that sound card away, I'm still talking into this mic. So do the whole thing the same order with that. You have God. God created man. Man created the Bible to understand God. You take the Bible out of it, God still came before man. The Bible has nothing to do with my belief in God. And so I genuinely believe Constantine may have been the Antichrist, and we may be about 1,700-1,800 years into the devil's reign, and we don't even know it. And that's the reason why we keep arguing with one another, and it's designed this way because we're missing the true fact of what's going on.
The devil put up Molly in a drink and she didn't even know it.
She ain't even know.
See, now you're trying to take it in a whole different direction.
No. She ain't even know.
We really don't. And we can blindly into, you know, wanting what we want, expecting what we do, and, you know, being disappointed when that shit doesn't come around.
Right.
And that's the reason why it's not even like I say to people I'm a Gnostic Christian, but I don't. The one Gnostic proverb that I really love, or two of them, one, the main one, which I'm going to eventually get tattooed, is know thyself. That's one of their biggest things, is that in order to find peace in the world, you need to know yourself. The reason why many of people aren't at peace in the world, because they don't know who they are. They're trying to figure out who they're supposed to be, but they're not looking within to figure out who they are. And the greatest thing that I think the Gnostics said, and the reason why the, not to call out the Catholic Church, but the reason why the Roman Catholic Church was so against the Gnostics, is the Gnostics said, you can't find church, or you can't find God in church. A man can't teach you God. You have to find God for yourself. God is within you. He's not in a church. He's not in a book. He's not in the stars or in the heavens. He's inside of you. And that was the whole point with the Gnostics, was know who you are, find God within yourself, and you'll be all right. But people have gotten away from that, and we keep looking to other people for answers. So I think the devil has already won.
Dun dun dun!
Well, I mean, he definitely gets his first spin, and for us to be able to even contemplate that or accept that and breathe it in and shit it on out would take a grand leap of faith. And those who truly are of faith will fucking find their way in that shit. But yeah, I mean, but rallying against it, it's a constant battle. We going through hell because, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know what's up. So, but like I said, we try to put white Jesus on it, and it gets motherfuckers all riled up all of a sudden.
Yes, and I have my story about white Jesus too, but we'll save that for another episode.
Let's go to other white beauty, shall we?
Well, I know, I'll save that for another podcast. So before we get out of here, Papo, it is that time. It's time for dedications. And I'm actually going to pass it to Skips first, because she has a dedication for this episode. Who does Skip dedicate this episode 12, the Two Vagina Special, to?
Well, it's not to a vagina, so sorry to disappoint you. But I came up with something else I was going to do, and then I was like, no, I really want to do my dedication to somebody that I really like. This
will pretty much, this is for the ladies and the tootsies.
Hey, okay, no, because Tremaine likes his music too, but his name is The Weeknd. He goes by The Weeknd, and it's
the ugliest Nigerian you can ever fucking
He's Ethiopian.
Oh well, same shit. But tell me though, he's beautiful.
No, I'm not gonna say that. No. But there's something so mysterious about him because he's not out there in the public eye and all that kind of stuff. And he's not, like, well-known and all this kind of stuff. And his music, I can listen to it all the time. I know Tremaine gets so sick and tired of me listening to it.
And it's funny because I introduced her to The Weeknd.
He did.
I heard about The Weeknd. I downloaded
this
House.
This is from the Canada guy, right?
Yeah, Canada guy. I downloaded the House of Balloons. I was completely blown away by it. And I was like, yo, Skips. I was like, you got to check this out.
Wicked Games fucked me up. Wicked
Yo.
Games.
Wait, I was going to give you my number.
Okay, well, yeah, she's going to give her top three in a second. But I played her this, and she fell in love with it, and I stopped listening to The Weeknd because she listens to it so much. I know when I get in the car, I'm going to probably hear it, so I don't even listen to The Weeknd.
How do you listen to The Weeknd and not smoke weed, though? Like, it makes me feel like I want
to... I don't
know. Smoke fucking slip my throat.
You know what happened is...
Wrist, whatever. So, there's like a sex scene that's dying OD right now kind of atmosphere when you put The Weeknd on.
Yeah, and that's true. The thing is that he comes from a different place than a lot of the R&B, quote unquote R&B artists come from, especially the ones now. There's not really, I used to really like Trey Songz, but even he kind of got away from like the more, I don't know, I want to feel it. I want to feel the music. Yay. I want to feel what you're saying. I want to feel it. And a lot of these people just sing, and I feel like they're not really feeling what they're singing. They're just like, oh, I'm just going to put on this little record and make my money and keep it moving kind of thing. And I feel like The Weeknd is so into what he's doing that all of his songs, I'm not going to say like every single song, but like the majority of his songs. And for me to like the majority of someone's songs is huge.
It's a big deal.
Cause it's huge.
Somebody like that.
Yeah. I mean, you buy a CD. I don't know. I mean, back in the day, Tremaine still buys CDs, but a lot of times you'd buy a CD because of one song and then you would hate the majority of the songs because they weren't, it was the way that they took the direction or whatever just kind of went off key, but.
He definitely sets themes, and I do respect that. And
I really just do, and I don't.
And what I like about his music, because people who know me, I'm a real big hip hop head, and then outside of hip hop, I'm more of a rock alternative head. Like, I really don't like R&B, but the reason why I really don't like R&B because a lot of it sounds the same to me. It's very generic songs where I could take this song from this artist and I can give it to this person, and they could still make it happen. And the reason why The Weeknd caught my attention is he has a very unique sound and style. You can't give those songs to any random person and make it work. And so I connect with him on a personal level because it's like, that is you. You're showing off exactly who you are. You're not showing off what this is what's popular right now. This is what everybody's doing. You're showing off who
don't
you are.
Don't hate me. I'm doing me better than you do you. I did a child to say.
I forgot how to go,
but you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Whatever.
So can I just do a quick little
Your top three?
Can I
do you think?
Okay, just really quick. I'll try to make it quick. Then we're gonna end the show. But so his real name is Abel.
We've been ending for half an hour. Don't.
His real name is Abel Tesfaye. I think is how you say it. And his birthday is actually February 16th, and he was born in 1990, so he's only going to be 24 years old.
Goddamn young.
Wow.
Right?
he's from Canada. He was born in Ontario.
He makes this beautiful thing.
I know. And he has three albums, or mixtapes, I should say. Yeah. Three mixtapes.
He's not on their label, is he?
I don't think so.
I think that's one of the big things with it.
Records.
Oh, so he did finally sign.
It's his own label.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So he has House of Balloons, Thursday, and Echoes of Silence, which are all mixtapes. And then he did a compilation album called Trilogy, which is consisted of remastered versions of the mixtape. And then that was released under the Republic Records, which is actually his own label.
Yes.
In 2013, he released his debut studio album called Kissland, which was supported by the singles Kissland and Live For. And then the other thing I just wanted to touch on was...
It doesn't hurt to have a Drake back in...
Yeah, and actually, as much as I hate to admit it, it was Drake is the reason why I checked him out, because Drake kept talking about him, and I finally was like, who the fuck is The Weeknd? I thought it was some alternative band, and then they had House of Balloons on Dat Piff, and so I downloaded it, and I was like, yo, this shit is fucking phenomenal.
And then really quick, too, it says he adopted his stage name, The Weeknd, which is actually spelled, you know, the, and then Weeknd is W-E-E-K-N-D. So there's no, it's not spelled like regular Weeknd, because he said, after dropping out of high school at the age of 17, and along with a fellow crew member, left one weekend and never came home. The spelling was modified to avoid copyright issues with a Canadian band already named The Weeknd. So that's where he gets that spelling from.
That makes sense.
I was kind of curious. Okay, then my top three, if you're going to check out The Weeknd, my top three songs are... High for This is my ultimate favorite song ever.
Yeah.
Wicked Games.
Yes.
Love. and actually Love in the Sky, which I think is off of the Kissland album. So
and he has one song, I can't remember the name of it, on the House of Balloons where he raps at the end. I'm gonna have to bring up the track listing, but what is it? House of Balloons.
The only one that has any stars on mine, if I can kind of give a quick little.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
On my iTunes, one was off of the Noise EP, and I forget. I don't know how old is that. The Noise EP. There's a song on there called Material Girl. I think I just liked it because of it kind of. Oh.
He also does a remake of Dirty Diana from Michael Jackson.
That might.
Yeah.
Love and Big Quint. Is that his name?
Yeah. Shouts out to Big Quint. Yeah, yeah boy.
These are my four. Coming Down. Wicked like Games, the Glass Something,
Glass and, Table Girls. That's my joint.
In the morning.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to give a top three because I was like, yeah. Anybody's gonna check him out. These are like to get an idea of what he does. But yes, I love all those songs.
Yeah, and he's phenomenal. I will give that to him. I really fuck with The Weeknd, and to give my top three, it's High for This. Glass Table Girls. I think it's Wicked Games. But, yeah, he's phenomenal. If y'all have not checked out The Weeknd, you are fucking tripping. He's very phenomenal.
I just love that he's, like, not mainstream.
Yes, exactly. And he has his own sound, and that's fucking phenomenal.
And he's not the sexiest.
Yes. And speaking of not being the sexiest, my dedication.
Not being the sexiest?
This week. I'm gonna switch
not
up.
Not over me. No, I'm just kidding.
My dedication this week. Skips is so fucking silly. You sure you wasn't smoking for the show?
I don't know. Maybe I got a contact high from.
Hey, he was smoking hookah. YouTube yes, regulations. That was hookah that he was smoking. I see.
I'm glad that we're being live. We're being very live.
Yo, so.
I'm high when I start talking like that.
My dedication this week goes out to someone who I never really followed until fairly recently. I dedicate this episode to Sarah Silverman.
Ooh, one of my favorite Jews.
Yo, Sarah Silverman is somebody who I had never followed. And I can honestly say I've never seen any of her stand-up specials. The only Sarah Silverman that I know of is her current YouTube page, which I have been following.
Are you serious?
Yes, I have never listened because I always heard a bunch of controversy about her. She's a bitch. She's racist. She's this. She's that. I always heard a whole bunch of crazy shit. Then YouTube did their comedy week. That was like months ago. They did this whole comedy week, and shouts out to Popo for introducing me to Reggie Watts. And that's the reason why I followed that whole series. And then Sarah Silverman had a series. I was like, I'm gonna keep up with it. And so I've been actually enjoying the different videos she's been putting. She had the whole joke about how much she hates knickers, and then the black woman standing behind her. And then she had the whole song with Will Ferrell about masturbating when she's at home at night.
That's awesome. Fuck, yes. It was Will I Am.
Who did I say?
Pharrell.
Did I say Pharrell? Oh, yeah. Will I Am.
Skateboard P
with Will I Am. But recently, she just dropped a video that I'm gonna put on the IBHM podcast page that I think everybody needs to fucking check this out. There's a video, and I'm gonna play it for you before after we get done with this.
Okay.
It's Sarah Silverman is visited by Jesus Christ, and I was turned off by the title at first because, like I said, even though I'm not a religious person, I'm not too much of a religious joker because it's like that's what people believe. If that's what you believe, I'm not going to fucking say, oh, you're fucking stupid for believing something I don't. That's your belief. Okay, that's you. But I get kind of like when there's religious jokes, sometimes I kind of fall back. I don't want to get in the middle of it. But I end up watching it, and I was blown away by how fucking informative this fucking video was. And I fell in love with Sarah Silverman. She is my new celebrity crush. Don't hate Skips. So I dedicate this episode to Sarah Silverman, and check out her Sarah Silverman Was Visited by Jesus Christ video on YouTube or on IBHMPodcast.com. And very informative.
Yo.
I'm faster than you, Popo.
If you don't mind.
Oh, do your thing. Do your thug thizzle.
Because actually, I never come prepared with the dedication. So kind of.
That means it comes from the heart when you actually do
for
it.
For real. And I actually had it in thought to show her the due respect that I feel like she deserves, because not only I think she's hilarious, she's a genius, and I also think she's fucking sexy, even though I know she has a bush and I've seen it before. But Sarah Silverman, can we double team her? Can we do this?
I never really got to do it full action because one person always bitches out. But can we double team?
We can double team.
Okay,
I'm
because that way we can keep an even two. We can have her and I, her Ethiopian, and then we'll have a truly, truly, truly God's handpicked child. I'm saying she's a Jew, and for that very reason, she was a chosen one.
I mean, she's an alien.
And she's pale like all the other aliens glow. And one thing I think is really dope about her, I don't know if you even remember, but you remember something about Mary?
Yep.
She played a little, she was one of the friends in the background. The little
Real boy. Quick, you guys are going to be upset at me. I've never seen something about Mary. I'm maybe the only person in America who has never seen something about
splooge
Mary.
Splooge in the hair.
That's the, I know that joke about the splooge in the hair. I've never seen it though. I've seen one scene, and it's whenever, I don't know where the guy was, but he fucking Ben Stiller rolls down like a hill, and he pops up as a dude, dick in his face or something, and then the cops show
shit,
up.
Yeah, you get,
that's
you
the only scene I saw. Oh, yeah. Wow. But go ahead, my bad.
Well, she was one of the funny friends who has always been real, and all her shit, even when she was this little, when she was doing stand-up, she was this feisty little fucking, just this little skinny bitch. She probably does fucking blow and complains all day, but she was fucking really adorable, and she was the one that didn't mind saying a cock joke, and that was one of the funny lines that I remember from, like I said, it shows how real the bitch is, because Cameron Diaz's character, she wants to find a love, you know, she wants to not be going out with all these douchebags. And fucking Sarah Silverman says exactly what every woman, I guess, is wanting to say. She's like, I guess they're posting on the paper nowadays. Yeah. BS going on Craigslist or some shit. Seeking rich, deaf, mute with fucking massive cock. that way she don't gotta hear motherfucker bullshit. He's rich, so she gets to live well, and he has a dick, so hey, she's happy.
She gets piped down.
Like, I feel like, oh God, like women, you know, if I talk too much, I know this, but gosh. I don't know, but she's been hilarious, and I feel like even with her canceled show, like she's something fierce, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she was in some prison movie where she showed her bush, and I was like, oh my God.
Yo.
And it wasn't the most flattering, but I gave her props. So.
That was the, I saw that, I didn't watch the video, but if you Google Sarah Silverman nude, yeah, she is the sexiest naked thing.
No, but she's sexier now, but at this point though, it was a very bad time.
Yeah.
As
that,
far as body image wise, but she was the shit though for doing that.
Yes, sir. So I'm gonna say good episode, y'all. I think that just about does it. We started extremely late. We had a bunch of technical difficulties, but we got it going. The show crashed halfway through it, but we were able to pick up and keep it going. And so I think good episode. And was there anything else anybody wanted to chime in before I go into the outro? Anything? Skips?
No.
Popo?
I kind of want to talk about some of the records that kind of came out recently.
I mean,
not so much really a bunch of records, but kind of like things that, well, for instance, because when we kind of go into our outro music, like Plies, he had some mixtape, I forget what it's called, something about The Last of the Real Niggas, or some real ratchet.
Some old real nigga shit.
But, and I can't even remember another line, so I guess it wasn't too impressive. I don't know if that's just me. I'm trying to think, because I thought there was some records that I wanted to mention.
But. I know there was one album that came out that I downloaded. I haven't got a chance to listen to it, but what is the guy's name, the new kid on TDE? Isaiah Rashad? Name.
Yes.
Yes. I read a review, the name of the CD is Sylvia Demo, and I'm hearing a lot of great things about it. And the one thing that I really like about fucking Kendrick and what he's doing over there, with the whole black hippie movement, I love that he's not bringing in people just because they have a popular sound. I love that he's bringing in people who are talented artists. And I love that they don't all sound alike. That was the one problem with, the G-Unit movement. Was you had 50 who was a dope artist in his own right, then you had Lloyd Banks who was a dope spitter in his own right, but then you had Yayo who just kind of sounded just like a watered down 50, and so it was only so far that group can go because they only had two different directions. When you look at Black Hippie, you got Kendrick Lamar killing it, you got Schoolboy Q killing
it, about his album.
You got J-Rock killing it, you got Ab Soul killing it, you got these new people coming out who are killing it. Like, I think they really have a good movement, and they're doing it the right way. They're not doing it the Young Money, Cash Money way with we're making this popular fucking platinum sound and all that. No, they're going for genuine, real artists, and they're making good music, and shots out the fucking Black Hippie for holding it the fuck down.
Fuck it, man.
I was gonna say, I'm hella excited about Schoolboy Q's record. What is it called? Oxymoron Music? Or
Oxymoron.
Shit? Oxymoron.
Yes.
That fucking shit is gonna be dope. It's funny because he actually does catchy shit. Like, he has two or three singles out right now, and one of them, unfortunately, has that fake ass Macklemore on there. he's gonna put some out. I really haven't listened to Rashad guy, so I don't know what's going on with him. But I'm excited about the Schoolboy Q. The only other thing that came out was, I think he was one of those, I don't know if he's Cash Money or some bullshit, Ty Dolla. Have you heard him?
I keep hearing some about
radio.
I haven't heard any of his stuff.
This one called, I think, he has a single called Paranoid, but motherfucker.
Okay.
Oh, I love this one.
He does have this one thing though, which kind of got, I don't know where it got famous at, but apparently now they'll say, or nah. Have you seen shit? Like, are you down to fuck?
Or nah. Or nah. Oh, yes. Shit, yes.
Like shit like that. And this motherfucker has a song called, are we going to do some shit or nah?
Or nah.
And it's just ignorance. Just ignorance.
That's funny. I know, I will say this. I haven't heard a whole bunch of his stuff with one person that came out recently that I am interested in seeing what he does. It's just some ignorant ass hood shit. The boy Problems, who did the
Big T.
Oh, and shout out to Big T. But no, Problems has that. He did the hook on the Childish Gambino song. Don't be mad because I'm doing me better than you.
That's what I was saying. Okay,
yeah, that record. Yeah. But he also has a song on the radio. For the life of me, cannot remember it right now. But it does go hard, and so it's some West Coast ignorant ass shit. But the boy could spit, and it sounds some genuine raw shit. So I'm gonna definitely be checking him out. So
I have to peep that out then.
So on that note, I guess we will say thank you guys for tuning in to the IBHM podcast. Once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, if you come across any news stories that you want to hear us talk about, send them over to ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on the web at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, WordPress, MySpace, SoundCloud, Podomatic. Just add IBHM podcast in an appropriate spot. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Hangouts. Just search, I'm Black, he's Mexican. If you don't feel like doing any of the all that because you're being too motherfucking lazy, it's all good because you can find all that at ibhmpodcast.com. So, until next time, I'm going to pass the pound over to Papo. I'm going to hit the pound over here to Skips. And on that note, we are out.
Bye.
Whoa!
I make it match.
DJ Shine.
Buddy, where the party at? Let's go. First set of months, so I got a little dough. Got a little drink, trying to get a little dough. Got a couple bells, trying to get a little more. It's going down, you already know. Got a cup of brown, you already know. Got a little brown, you already know. Go, turn it up, let's go.
King shit. Mr. King shit right here. I go by the name of the incredible. The unknown. The undescribable. DJ motherfucking Sean. I got Big T. Paper Round 2. You know where the party's at.
Buddy, where the party at? Let's go. First set of months, so I got a little dough. Got a little drink, trying to get a little joke. Got a couple bells, trying to get a little more. It's going down, you already know. Got a cup of brown, you already know. Got a little brown, you already know. Go, turn it up, let's go. Pull up, popping out to good luck. Killing shakes in my lungs, cup full of syrup. Back right hip shaking like Shakira. Got the whole city in it, making all of the spheres. Making moves is a routine. Getting money is a must. Money is a must. Got the South, this bitch, I'm creeping with my whole team. Black pockets like the Dutch. Oh, it's going down, down, down. We about to have it cracking in the town. Like James Brown. Moving all around, super slick. Brought a pound through the shit. Calm it down through your lips. Talking, but ain't doing it. No time for foolishness. The only shit I'm fooling with is my cold cover liquor and a cooler bitch. It's going down.
My name's Ole and I be on that other shit. Going hard, always putting on for all my clicks. Both rich kid, my jazz man, cut the chip. Smoking loud and I will not smoke you regular. I got a bad bitch and I don't even schedule her. Here's a middle finger for all my competitors. You know I'm just going hard.
I like how we do that right there. Like that right shout out Frisco doing the damn thing. The general, the chief, I see you, boy. Now see, we about that party life. And if you ain't got no money, stay out my motherfucking lane. Get your own Brooklyn. Come on.
Party with a party at, let's go. First of the month, so I got a little dough. Got a little drink, trying to get a little joke. Got a couple pals, trying to get a little more. It's going down, you already know. Cup full of brown, you already know. Look at the brown, you already know. Go, turn it up, let's go. Pull out, popping out the good luck. Killing shells in my lungs, cup full of syrup. Bad guy, hip shaking like Shakira. Got the whole city in it, making all of the spheres. Making moves is a routine. Getting money is a must. Money is a must. Got the side this bitch, I'm creeping with my whole team. Black pockets like the Dutch. Oh, it's going down, down, down. We about to have it cracking in the town. Like James Brown. Moving all around, super slick. Brought a pound, blew the shit. Calm it down, blew your lips. Talking, but ain't doing it. No time for foolishness. The only shit I'm feeling with is my cold cover liquor and a cooler bitch. It's going down.
Third card and I'm coming from the mothership. My name's Ole and I be on the other shit. Going hard, always putting off for all my clicks. Broke rich kid, my jazz man, cut the chip. Smoking loud and I will not smoke you regular. I got a bad bitch that I don't even schedule her. Here's a middle finger up for all my competitors. You know I'm just going hard.
Say, buddy, where the party at? Let's go. First of the month, so I got a little dough. Got a little drink, gotta get a little joke. Got a couple pals, gotta get a little more. It's going down, you already know. Got a cup of brown, you already know. Got a little brown, you already know. Turn it up, let's go. When I pull up, see, normally I don't drink on a new slut. But I've been pulled up a lot too much. Nigga ain't did shit like 2 months. So I call my nigga Frisco. What's slapping? G got a bad little bitch from the Hamptons. Her and her friend, they tryna get it cracking. Huh? Enough said, what's happening? Walk in the club, my section over there. Get a little early, so the club a little bad. I don't give a fuck, I've been drinking on Claire. Shot something strong, got me feeling like, yeah. Hey, normally she wanna have fun. Ask her about her man, she said she ain't had one. Treat her like a last chance, only had one. Never kick on the dick, cause I'm not that dumb.
And I'm coming from the mothership. My name's Ole and I be on the other shit. Going hard, always a putting off for all my clicks. Broke rich kid, my jazz man, cut the chip. Smoking loud and I will not smoke it regular. I got a bad bitch and I don't even schedule her. Here's a middle finger up for all my competitors. You know I'm just going hard on the regular.
Say, buddy, where the party at? Let's go. First of the month, so I got a little dough. Got a little drink, gotta get a little joke. Got a couple